Dude, that's ridonkulous.
Nice!
Moving on.
What? Bill, why are you speeding past that?
Come on, God. Answer me. For years I'm asking you why. Why are the innocent dead and the guilty alive? Where is justice? Where is punishment? Or have you already answered? Have you already said to the world, here is justice, here is punishment, here in me?
Holy shit, the Punisher!
It's him!
Trouble, I'd better get out of here on the double. You know, with your flair for entrances, you should consider a career in the theater.
I'll think about it.
Something?
It's your mofo butter laying into the bone, jacking me up. Tighten me.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Cuddy say can't hang.
Oh, stewardess, I speak jive.
Oh, good.
He said that he's in great pain and he wants to know if you can help him.
All right, would you tell him to just relax and I'll be back as soon as I can with some medicine.
Just hang loose, blood. She's gonna catch up on the rebound on the med side.
What it is, big mama. My mama didn't raise no dummies. I duck her rap.
Cut me some slack, Jack. Chump don't wanna help. Chump don't get the help.
Say can't hang, say seven up.
Jive ass dude don't got no brains anyhow.
Look, that guy needs to fart. It's pretty clear, but he doesn't know her well enough to do it in front of her, so I assume they haven't slept together.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Good.
He does seem to be clenching. Yeah, he doesn't want to fart. Watch, when he gets enough space, he's going to let one rip, I guarantee you. Oh, that's a good move. Hey, go check out the kitchen, honey. I'll meet you in there. Now watch. Making his move slowly, slowly but surely. Watch the leg. Wait for it. Wait for it. Fart. Boom. That's a fart. That's a fart.
Oh, my God.
Look at him. Crop dusting across your open house. It's a disgrace.
He farted in my open house.
He sure did.
You know what, guy? I like it, but I'm thinking it might be a little bit small.
Totally, and it smells like fart.
Dude, meetings.
Oh
over.
Man, that was stanky. Hey everyone! Hey, hello. Hey, how's it going? It's Norm Mulberry. Hey, film, television, pop culture live show here on Now Live. It doesn't that make sense? It's live and it's on Now Live. So, wonder if
now
anyone
live
does
on Now Live
pre-recorded shows on Now Live. That would cause a ripple in the
Was
continuum.
Live Now Live?
Yeah, was live. Yeah, we ought to do that. Hey, your recorded podcast was live. And it's got a thing for a webcam, but it's like from a week ago. It's not like current webcam. You're sitting at your desk, you know, just reading stuff online, but it's from a week
ago.
I
think that's what they do with that Utah Morning News. They just show some old webcam feed.
My favorite thing of the Utah Morning News, if anyone wants to know what this is, go to Now Live. It's always the first thing on there, and you see it looks like a fancy studio, like it's a cool radio studio. There's like one person in this thing that probably cost, I don't know, $1 million to set up.
It's enormous. It's like, it's this huge room.
Except they're reporting the Utah news, so there's nothing to do. There's one guy, like, reading off a clipboard or something. They got what we could do with that studio, man. We could do our show there. You could fit three people in there. There's always one guy in there.
The drawback? Utah.
Yeah, it's in Utah. That's what I'm saying. They've got nothing to report. So, hey, Bill, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I figured I would introduce you before Steven this time. What do you think?
Well, I think I deserve it.
Tricking things up. Okay. Mainly because I was going to say that the Skype sounds perfect. Sounds fine.
Excellent.
They did this update, Steven, the pop culture zealot. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you.
Where now the Skype box, instead of being this vertical rectangle, is this huge rectangle horizontal on the screen. And when I try to minimize it, it breaks in two. One is a chat box and one is the calls. And it's like, who the hell designed this thing? It's friggin' huge,
man. Keep it all
man.
Together.
Did you notice that, Bill?
You know, no, not really. I guess I've been using it for so long through the beta that I just never really
see, this is
noticed.
The first time. I downloaded it a couple of days ago, so I haven't really messed with it. I was like, I'll wait till the last minute on the show to mess with this. It's always good to be prepared when doing a live show.
Hey, let's not test this thing out at all.
Be prepared.
Hey, let's see if there's some echo when we do the live show. I'll wait until the live show to see if there is.
That's what we do.
Yeah,
we plan a great game, but we don't actually follow through.
Yeah, let's wait till we get there. We'll improvise.
Yeah.
It's like, if it doesn't work, we'll figure it out.
We will, live, on the air, while people are like, God, the audio is horrible.
These jackasses don't know what they're doing.
It's part of our charm.
Yeah. We could do as good as Utah Morning News, I think. Or maybe Jerk Off Radio. That's my go-to show. Whenever you go-to show on Now Live, Jerk Off Radio, right there.
You know what? Right now, the Utah Morning News isn't the number one thing. It's like some sort of rap thing.
Whoa. Rap.
Yeah. Rap.
That's sweet, yo.
Wiggity, wiggity, whack.
What it is, big mama. My mama raised no dummies. I duck a rap.
That's my go-to white boy thing. Wiggity, wiggity, whack.
Awesome.
Crisscross will make you jump.
Oh, wow.
Just hang loose, blood.
Hey, didn't Crisscross, was Crisscross the one that had the Sega
backwards
CD? The Sega CD game?
Yes, they did. It was a video. They did that thing where you could, like, re-edit the videos on the Sega CD.
Hey, my Sega CD, I can edit a crisscross video. This is state-of-the-art.
My dreams have come true! Yeah,
state-of-the-art gaming, people!
In the midst of my moving, I found the Sega handheld video game.
What was that called? The
Nomad?
Was it the Nomad?
Or the Game Gear?
The Game Gear.
Yeah, the Nomad was the one that actually played full-size cartridges, like Genesis cartridges. Whoa. And the Game Gear was the tiny one. I have that still.
I remember I still have it.
It's. I was going to hook it up to see if it still works.
Bill,
you know what's funny is I wanted the TV tuner for that so bad.
That would be sweet. I guess it wouldn't work coming soon now. You need a digital tuner.
Yeah.
But, Bill, did you ever own the Turbo Express, the handheld TurboGrafx?
I did.
That's sweet. I remember in the, what was that movie, the Will Smith movie, where they have the Turbo Express prominently featured? Oh, what was that?
Oh, God, I have no idea.
Enemy of the State, Jason Lee stuffs this secret cartridge in the Turbo Express. Do you remember
that? Oh, yeah.
And then the kid's like...
Because it was a Hue card, which is what the Turbo Express used, those little...
I remember when I had a TurboGrafx, it had the little tiny, you know, credit card size. A game fits on this little thing. It's awesome, you know?
Awesome.
Little did I know, you know, they soon have, like, SD cards with, like, 16 gigabytes on them.
and 4,000
or even more
old
than that.
Atari games on there.
Yeah.
I tell you what, though, of all the systems, I think TurboGrafx 16 was one of the coolest. Because, you know, then you had the Turbo Duo or the add-on CD, and some of those graphics on that thing were pretty cool.
I always loved the game Blazing Lasers. That was a great game. I'd love to play that game even now. It was awesome. Well, guys, welcome to the show. We're going to talk a lot of TV shows and movies. I don't know of any movies. We got DVDs later, right? And stuff like that. But we do have a voicemail from somebody other than Rupert Ralston, whatever his name is.
Rupert Ralston. Is that his full name?
We've got Rick. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys from Mulberry. It's Rick from Fort Worth. Been a while. I know I've been out of the loop. Been busy being a dad and a lot of work, too. Just wanted to give you guys a heads up. I hope you guys are doing well. Also want to let you know that this weekend is going to be AllCon once again over here in Dallas. The website is www.all-con.org. I'm going to be participating in a live riff of Roadhouse again this year. This is actually going to be our last year doing it. If you guys are able to make it, cool. If not, I completely understand.
We gotta go.
Otherwise,
one here,
that's pretty much it. Hope you guys are doing good. Once again, love the show. Still,
obviously, we're getting the voicemail a week late.
Haven't been able to get to catch up with you guys. And take care. Talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Thanks a lot, Rick. I think AllCon is like indie comics. It sounds really cool. If I could just find the time to go, I know it'd be pretty cool.
Interesting.
But also, I haven't bought.
Call me up and tell me.
I haven't bought any comics in a while. It's like I feel out of the loop. So out of the loop. All I know is Rob Liefeld. He's a good comic artist still, right?
Speaking of comics, I picked up the trade paperback of the recent Walking Dead. Kirkman book. And it's nice to get back into it, but holy shit. I mean, the shit just hit the fan in the last one, and this one's just depressing as all hell.
Got me some slack, yeah?
Yeah, I like The Walking Dead, but also it pisses me off, too.
Yeah.
It almost has that same thing that I have problems with zombie movies, whereas I get pissed off at characters doing stupid things. In order to move a story along, you have to have somebody do something to trigger an event. And sometimes what the person does makes no freaking sense at all. So that kind of gets on my nerves at times.
Yeah, the people are starting to have a mental break now in this one, and it's just depressing.
Yeah, it sounds fun. Whatever happened
to... Yeah, it really is.
I like to read old Felix the Cat comics, you know?
Excellent.
Archie's.
You know what I saw recently that Hulu added Felix the Cat cartoons? I was like, awesome! I loved Felix the Cat when I was a kid. They gave it a new intro theme song, and I was pissed. It's like, what is this revisionist shit?
I hate that. I hate whenever they do that. I got so angry whenever they did that for Sesame Street.
It should be Felix the Cat. The wonderful, wonderful cat. His sides will ache. His
sides will ache. Your heart will go pitter pat.
Watch it, Felix. The wonderful cat. And he's like,
I was. Teeth,
he's always grabbing his side, but now it's like, Felix.
Oh,
some
no.
shit like that. Like, what the hell, man? Felix is not hip hop. All right.
I don't need to see the master cylinder dancing.
The master cylinder.
Holy shit, the Punisher!
It's him! Oh my god.
I love that line.
Holy shit, the Punisher! Now, I haven't seen yet the new Punisher, but how can it even live up to that kind of dialogue?
Oh, please.
I love that, how the Punisher, he's praying to God for the guilty to be punished, and for some reason in the movie, he lives in the sewer, and he's meditating completely naked. Just think of the germs.
What's funny about that line, Reed, though, is that it's so disingenuous. It's like there's absolutely no, like, true meaning behind it. He's just like, God.
Well, no, what I think is what, he doesn't give a chance for God to answer. He says,
no.
Basically, he says, God, why are the guilty around and the innocent are the ones who are in pain and they're punished or whatever? Why can't the guilty be punished? Come on, answer me, God. Oh, okay. Well, I guess it's me then. Maybe I'm the answer. It's like, hey, you didn't give me a chance to say
that. God answers in his own time.
Oh my God.
Come on, God. Answer me.
All right.
For years, I'm asking you why. Why are the innocent dead?
For years.
Oh,
he's been waiting for years. Yeah.
Where is justice? Where is punishment?
Where is justice?
Have you already said to the world, here is justice? Here is punishment. Here in me.
Whoa. See, what I think it is, Bill, is he's living in the sewer and he's just a depressed guy, so he's not doesn't get too excited about anything.
Well, you know, if he just walked down the sewer a little bit, he'd run into Splinter and the Ninja Turtles and everything would be fine.
But also, he's nude, meditating in the sewer. I just keep thinking about germs and stuff.
You know? He probably has dysentery.
He's probably got algae growing on him.
That's why he's so angry.
Crotch rot.
Yeah, he's got crotch rot.
He's going to get the turtle ooze on his sack.
Then it'll, like, turn into Plato. Start talking to him.
Good lord.
This sack will get all scaly.
That dude don't got no brains in him.
All right, well, let's check out what we got in entertainment. Now, that new film called Knowing has come out. What kind of reviews is that getting, Bill? Have you seen any?
I've seen, like, whoa, this was awesome, to this doesn't work. And I think the people that think it doesn't work are just, they don't like Nick Cage. He's not exactly doing the best films. But come on, it's Alex Proyas, for crying out loud. Even iRobot, which sucked, was good because of him.
Yeah, Dark City and even The Crow, that guy, I think he should be making whatever movie he wants to, but I guess
exactly.
He has to do these kind of pay-for-hire movies. Maybe, you know, I never saw that movie he did where it's about a band, an up-and-coming band. I can't remember.
Garage Days.
Yeah, was that any good?
Yeah, it was.
I want to see him make whatever he wants, basically.
And I think he pretty much does, because he only does a movie like every 2 years.
Yeah, Knowing. Yeah, when did Nicolas Cage kind of take a shitter on his career? You know, remember when it was great? Nick Cage was great. Remember that? Come on.
Yeah, he was great through the... I think it started
just
honestly,
after Con Air, maybe?
No, I would have to say later. I think it started with Snake Eyes.
That's what I was saying, after Con Air.
Was Snake Eyes before Con Air, though?
No, that was after, because it was like he did The Rock, and he did Con Air and Face Off, and then he did Snake Eyes.
I liked, The Rock at the time, and even Face Off.
I still enjoyed the shit out of The Rock.
I think he's great in Face Off. I think that movie's a lot of fun, even though it's overly long and stuff, and John Woo is doing an American movie, and, you know.
I want to take his face off.
Yeah. But yeah, somewhere along the way, it's just he became an embarrassment.
Yeah, somewhere right after The Rock, and
so now when he does a movie and you see a trailer, it's like ugh. And it didn't,
there was like a trifecta of suck that he got involved in there in the late 90s. It was City of Angels, Snake Eyes, and 8mm.
Oh, and it was 8mm and Snake Eyes. Those are two pretty bad movies. Wow.
Yeah.
But and then when Bangkok Dangerous came along, it was too late. He couldn't win me back with that gem.
Well, you know, it was his hair.
Oh, his neck.
It's so bizarre looking. He tried so hard too with like Lord of War and World Trade Center.
Yeah, Lord of War is not a bad film.
It's a good movie. I even like The Weatherman.
Yeah, The Weatherman. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I mean, he's done some good movies, but it's just for some reason he just doesn't get the respect.
Maybe it's this. When he does those genre films like that, it's kind of like, ugh, just stick with Weatherman type stuff. Don't do these things where, you know, my kid found a notebook with all the shit written on it and it predicts disasters, ooh, you know, or something like that. You know, these high concept kind of disaster type things. Maybe you shouldn't do those. I don't know.
I watched National Treasure Book of Secrets this week on Netflix, and I even enjoyed that. I thought it was better than Indy 4.
You know what? Those films, they're safe and they're entertaining or whatever. It's no big deal, you know?
Popcorn flick.
Yeah. I even thought the first one, you know, you watch it and it does what it's supposed to and then it's over and that's it. You know, it's not that it's bad. It's not like that movie Next or anything, which I haven't even seen. It just looks bad.
Oh my God, is it bad? I watched it on Netflix streaming a couple weeks ago. Oh, the saving grace of it is... what's her name?
Jessica Biel. Her name just went in and out of my mind.
Yeah, Jessica Biel.
Jessica Biel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to him in Matthew Vaughn's Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
And I mean, Kick-Ass is a great comic book series.
I didn't know he was in it, honestly.
Yeah, he plays Damon McCready. So it should look pretty cool.
Well, also, I Love You Man came out this weekend.
Yes.
And that looks pretty funny.
Fart.
I really wanted to go see it today.
You know what? It's almost like when I first saw it, I was like, oh, that looks kind of funny. But the closer it gets, I was like, you know what? I'd really like to see a movie like that. And it makes me laugh. The last 2 weeks, I've watched Pineapple Express. I've watched Sex Drive. Now I have Role Models waiting to watch that on Blu-ray. And you know, I find the best thing is after the show, every Friday, I'm completely brain dead. It's time to watch a comedy.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd
is really... I mean, he's really become a great straight man in these movies.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's... You know, I love him in The 40-Year-Old Virgin. He's great in that.
Yeah. And he's great in Role Models. Role Models crack me up. In fact, I liked it so much, I actually spent the $25 it cost to get it on Blu-ray.
Looks like a poltergeist.
Awesome. Yeah, he does those lines that he delivers in that is just great.
It looks like he's got a great Doppler radar.
It looks like a Doppler radar. I love that. I hear a sound outside, Steven. What is that?
It's your answering machine.
Oh.
It's zombies.
Emma must have turned it up all the way. I keep it down all the way.
It sounds like a little kid voice saying.
They're at the door. Open the door, Steven.
Ooh, yeah, zombies. Hey, what do you want, zombies? Ah! You never answer the door when zombies, says Mark.
Look through the peephole.
Look through the peephole.
what comes out first? Is Wolverine come out before Star Trek? The Star Trek?
Yeah, I think so. I think Wolverine's one of those early summer movies.
I hope Wolverine doesn't suck. That's all I'm hoping. I hope it's entertaining.
You know what? It looks ridiculous, but I just can't help myself. I'm going to have to see it.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it's cool. It's got a lot of cool people in it. And I never saw the movie that the director directed. What is it? Sotsy?
Sotsy.
Didn't he direct that?
Yeah,
Sotsy.
Oh, did he direct that?
That there, Tosatsi movie.
Tosatsi! You know, the African movie.
Totally, and it smells like fart.
No. Oh.
Yeah, I've heard that about Africa.
Wow. But not in Sangala. It's beautiful there.
Everybody huffs jankum there, so it kind of smells like farts.
What is it, that janja weed or whatever?
Jankerman is that that horrible urban legend that they take basically poop and pee and put it in a jar and then put a balloon on top of it, and when it like goes rancid, like it ferments, then they like huff the gas that goes into the balloon, and it supposedly it makes you react like that. Exactly.
I've never heard of that before.
Really? You've never heard that urban legend of the kids from Africa that huffed Jenkum? It's hilarious. Look it up on Wikipedia. On there.
Well, I know, like, in, okay, yes, kill the cockroach. But the in Black Hawk Down, they have that weed that they eat that gets them high all day. That they,
oh yeah.
You know what I'm? What is that stuff called? Janja weed or Janga weed? I don't know. Isn't that the name of the bad guys in Darfur or something? I don't know. See, hey, I watch TV. I watch TV shows. I should be paying attention to the news. But on that note, let's talk about some television shows. What do you say, Steven?
Let's talk about them.
All right. Now, I just had to include this because it's Gary Busey, okay?
Oh, no, he's back.
For some reason, they roasted Larry the Cable Guy on Comedy Central. But Busey gets up there, and he starts roasting himself. And he's looking at his empty chair like he's roasting himself.
Okay, that's genius.
Let's check it out, because he is insane.
Hey, look. How did they get Gary Busey here tonight?
Look at him sitting over there in his chair.
Hey, Gary, give me the number of your dentist. I need to towel my hot tub. What?
Oh.
What? He's got unbelievable
teeth. With his giant
teeth.
Oh, okay.
But Gary, I got to tell you, you're supposed to be rescued by
this
the jaws of life, not wear them. It's not funny. Hey, Larry. From my heart, honestly, you're a great man, and you have devoted your life to bringing laughter to the masses, including me. Yet to the educated, you are the preeminent postmodern humorist, shifting between the surreal to the slapstick. It stands at the vanguard of the deep fried Dada movement. That's
what
where you
the
live.
Hell is he talking
at your address.
About?
What are you talking about? Nobody knew what he was talking about.
Comparing him to an artist,
I love
obviously.
It.
But
deep fried Dada movement. I love
wow.
it.
Wow. That is an interesting son of a bitch.
He's an interesting guy, man. Gotta love the Busey.
They need to bring back that show again.
Yeah. Now, Bill, did you watch Celebrity Apprentice?
I didn't.
Which
I honestly didn't.
Because of that new show, Kings, on NBC, they made Celebrity Apprentice only an hour long.
Yeah,
what the hell, man? That's all I need of the show is an hour. But it's obvious. The reason that Celebrity Apprentice is 2 hours is because NBC has nothing to air. So when they had Kings, they're like, oh, we don't have to have it 2 hours now. This disaster. But
they're like, oh, thank God.
What was this week, you know, Celebrity Apprentice or even the regular Apprentice, they always had stupid tasks for them to do, did they not? It was always just something.
It was selling wedding dresses this week.
Yeah, it was selling wedding dresses. It always has to do with some kind of advertisement, like they're advertising, you know, Zappos or whatever. But they're doing wedding dresses. I don't know who they're making money off of this.
I think they've actually done that on the regular Apprentice before.
Yeah, and of course, the guys are already like, hey, this ain't fair, man. Girls are always thinking about getting married. That Brian McKnight guy, when he was like, I'm sensing this isn't fair, you know, because girls are always thinking about getting married or they've been married. They know about I never thought about a wedding dress before. So he's got a point there. But the weird thing is that Tom Green is the task manager, whatever they call it.
The task man, yeah.
He's the task man.
Project manager.
And it gets really weird when they're setting up their shop, and he comes up with no ideas. They just put them on racks, and the place looks like a dump, like an empty store. And
it's Filene's basement.
And it's so funny. He tells Clint Black, he goes, I want you to call your celebrity friends in country music. And he goes, well, how much money do you want me to make? $100,000. He's like, okay, I'll get cracking on it. It's like 100 grand. Like, is he going to make that much?
the hell is Clint Black going to call?
And what's his face? The guy, the basketball player guy. What a blank in here. Rodman? Dennis Rodman. He calls. He knows a guy who knows models. So he sends over a Russian model. She's going to be a Russian model and model some wedding dresses.
You missed the part where he just takes off to go walking through the neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah. Him and the football player guy. What the hell? I can't remember
Emmett
his name.
Smith. Not Emmett Smith. Not Emmett Smith. It's
a black football player.
Herschel Walker.
Herschel Walker. He played for the Cowboys. What the hell's wrong with me? So they're just walking around. And he's like, hey, lady.
They stop at bars and start drinking, yeah, talking to chicks.
Hey, baby, I want some cranberries with some alcohol poured in it. And that's all they're doing. And, of course,
wedding dress lady.
Yeah, you want to get married someday? But the girls, of course, they've got their place set up where it's got, you know, flowers everywhere. It's all decorated real nice. And the thing I wonder this is every time they do the results where they go, man, you made $60,000. It's like, damn, that's pretty good. And the women, it's always like, you made $120,000. Aren't you always like, what the hell? Like, because they don't show them making that money. Well, they show them being all unsure of themselves the whole time.
The one chick calls up
their guy.
Francis.
That dude.
Francis. Like a designer?
No, he's the guy who does the wild Girls Gone Wild.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Joe Francis.
Yeah, Joe Francis.
She called Joe Francis?
Yeah. She goes, Joe, buy some wedding dresses.
You're going to get married someday.
He goes, how much are they? $1,000. I'll take 5. And that was all. The conversation was 2 seconds, sold 5 dresses.
Yeah.
It was like, never mind. Well, I don't even know what he's going to use it for. You
what's
know?
So funny is that
so wedding
that
dress
night,
has gone wild.
Tom Green goes off with Dennis Rodman, and they're like, "We'll see you guys later." And the next day, they're nowhere to be found, and pretty much it sounds like they got lit. They got totally drunk off their ass. And when Tom shows up later, you could tell he's just out of it, can't you?
They were busy touring the wildest bars in America.
In my 20s, I used to show up at work like Tom Green is right now, where I'm kind of like, just like, hey guys, what's up, man? Dude, are you still drunk? No. Shut up.
Why are you spelling?
Shit, my head is pounding, man. Everybody shut up. Oh, dude, he just vomited in the trash can.
I need to watch this.
Let's check it out.
We said let's go. We have to go to work. If it's going to be 4 of us, fine.
Hey, mother, get the up.
That's Jesse James. Hey, mother effer.
You have the phone?
Yes. So, hey, what's up?
Not you. They said they were going down to the bar last night.
Are you serious?
They had that Russian girl with them.
That who?
That Russian model.
She ain't no Russian model.
Stripper?
Just going to throw it out there. I don't think Tom really is the best project manager.
I love how he says that. It's an understatement.
You got Jesse James who's...
Morning.
I love this music.
Morning, everybody. Hey. Morning. We're making a lot of money today. It's very exciting. This is going to be the biggest disaster in the history of The Apprentice. And I mean a positive disaster. I'm so proud of my team. I'm so proud of this woman here. This woman is... I am so proud of you.
Isn't this Francisco
money
music
the team.
They're playing?
That woman there is bringing money.
She is.
I can tell by the look on her face.
Marco Lanza.
Boom.
I don't know where Tom and Dennis were, but they weren't with us. And then our project manager shows up, and he's still kind of a little bit drunk, I think.
I wonder if I can drink Herschel's orange juice. Will that be fine? I don't think he wants it.
You're the project manager.
You know what really is best for a hangover is cola.
Oh, yeah. Were you drinking last night?
No. I was thinking that's what you were using the orange juice for.
No. I'm just having breakfast.
No, I'm just having breakfast.
I'm working.
Jesse, what would you do if you were me right now? I mean, you see what's going on. What would you do?
Fire Dennis and Tom.
You'd fire both?
Yep.
Tom, because he wasn't a very good leader.
Tom, because he didn't get up this morning either. I had to call and wake him up, and I had to tell him when I
not
called
true.
And wake him up. People come.
And what
and
did you
dresses.
Do, Tom? Did you bring money down?
I didn't know. I was organizing everybody.
You didn't organize very well. I'll
okay,
be honest
but
with you. You had a lousy looking store.
Okay.
Well, you had no control over Dennis. Not that anybody can control Dennis, because I'm not sure he can't be controlled. But you had no control over Dennis.
I took a.
And you didn't bring any money in.
I took a non-traditional
Wait a
approach.
Minute. You couldn't control him. You brought in no money, and you had a lousy-looking store. You weren't much of a team leader.
What? When you say I'm a bad leader, you have to understand.
Well, you're not a good leader, I'll tell you right now.
Well, you have to understand.
First of all, you could have been fired last week. You didn't get along with your team. This week, you're worse. And you're the project manager, but you had a guy that didn't even show up. But that's also under your leadership.
I think there's a misunderstanding of what happened there.
Frankly, you want to know the truth? I think Jesse's in. I think I should fire maybe both of them.
I think when Tom didn't show up this morning, that showed that he wasn't ready to
leave. Why you fire today?
Who would you fire between the two of them? Who would you fire, bro?
Tom, period. I think
you would fire Tom because he was a lousy project manager. And frankly, you were lousy last week, Tom.
Uh-oh.
Tom, you're fired. Go. You were lousy last week, lousy this week. We have to do it. Go.
All right. That's fine.
That's it. Go. Get out.
That is.
Holy good.
Crap.
Go. Out.
All right. Was it a good shot?
Thanks, Gus.
Try a little harder, will you, Dennis, please?
I will try.
Is it a Chad?
Excuse me, Tom. Wrong elevator.
Oh, yeah, that was the best. He's going in the wrong elevator. It's like, no, the one with the fake guy in it, the fake elevator operator.
Yeah, he needs to push a button for you.
It was indeed the Chad.
Was it the Chad?
But the thing about all that is that Dennis Rodman, I thought he should have gone too because he didn't even show up the next day. He said he had eye allergies.
He had pink eye.
Pink eye, and he could show
his head got a little too close to the Russian model's butt.
Oh, big time! Oh, so what the hell is going on in the show? This show is kind of like Hell's Kitchen, where the men just suck every week.
It's really a disaster.
Well, they're putting either the wrong people in charge. I mean, Jesse James runs a successful business.
Yeah, when are they going to put him in charge?
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's somebody who knows what he's. Obviously, he knows what he's doing.
You know what? He looks to me like he's totally. He's putting himself in his happy place because when they talk to him, he's like, Tom did not show up today. He's just kind of like remaining calm. But in reality, he's like,
swear.
I want to punch him in the jaw and break his jaw or something. That's what he looks like.
Well, he's sober now, right? He's not drinking anymore, I think.
Didn't
you mention that in one of the episodes where he said he was sober?
For a long time?
For a couple years now, maybe?
I think so. I don't remember, though.
I only watched the first one. Don't ask me.
It's for some reason, I'm entertained by the show.
Well, I thought it was this one when he said he came back drinking. Because, you know, I haven't drank in a while.
Right. Yeah. And Tom Green, he's like, I love Clint Black. He's like, you know what's good for a hangover? Cola. And he's like, why? Did you go out drinking last night? He's like, no, I'm talking about you. He goes, no, I'm just having some breakfast, man.
Well, like Jesse James, when they came back, he goes, well, we know what motivates Rodman now. A little cranberry juice and alcohol.
Yeah, so some booze.
Because that's the most he spoke all week, I guess.
Now, Bill, I watched the second episode of Chopping Block. And again, you know, I'm just like giving this show the time of day because I'm eating while watching it. And I'm just like, okay. So far, nothing's really blown me away by it.
Yeah, I'm like every time I watch, I'm like, what exactly is going on here?
Marco Pierre White sticks up his finger way too much. He's like, what they need
well,
to do.
Well, he's a finger guy. He
points
he
the
likes
finger,
to use
holds it up.
Handy motes.
Yeah, he does. And he's always chilling back in his nice lounger, barstool lounger.
Yeah, I love whenever they do that, him in that big leather chair like he's in some sort of library.
But the funny thing about the show is what's different between him and Gordon Ramsay is he doesn't shout or anything. He's calm and he'll stare you down. He'll be like, "Now why would you make the decision of using this tablecloth?" And he'll stare at you and you're like,
"Oh, oh yeah.
I don't know. I made a horrible decision and I apologize." You know, just like
it's so funny his eyes like bore into the person to the point where they just give up. They're like, I don't know what I did. I'm sorry.
This episode, both people have been eliminated. You know, they eliminate couples every week. They volunteered. I failed you, and I'm going to bow out. I'm sorry. I apologize. He's like, okay, if that's your decision. It's like he doesn't have to eliminate you. He makes the people feel so guilty. They're like, I failed this show. I got to go.
I failed, Marco. I'm sorry. Let me give me a knife, and I'll... commit Harry Carrier.
Yeah, what is that, seppuku or something? They chop off a pinky.
It's just the opposite on Hell's Kitchen. The worst one, dude, I will give you 150%.
Yeah, they always say, I'll give you 110%, 150%. But let's go ahead and check this out because it's a black restaurant and it's a red restaurant. So it's Indians versus the blacks. No, wait, what? What am I talking about? No, basically what it is it's couples against each other. And what's funny is they'll have like two sisters who I think are pretty cute. And they have to share a restaurant with a mother and a daughter and a husband and wife. And none of them get along with each other. And here they have to meet with this clothing designer who's having a dinner there, and she decides she doesn't want the Chilean sea bass.
Yes, which Patagonian toothfish.
I believe this, Bill, that don't they make this like every episode of Top Chef, though?
Yeah, absolutely. So, it's easy.
Let's check this out. Oh, nice.
Hi. I'm Nicole.
I volunteered to meet with Nicole Miller because I do this all the time with my catering business.
But I would like to have two choices, so, and I think
the baby chicken would be lovely, personally. And this is going to be nice and juicy. It'll be lovely.
He has a problem with Chilean sea bass, but not with baby chickens?
I thought those were called eggs.
Yeah.
Scramby eggs.
And then sear Chilean sea bass.
I love chicken embryo.
Fennel, tomatoes.
I don't like Chilean sea bass.
You don't?
No, and isn't it endangered anyway?
When she said she hated Chilean sea bass, I was actually a little mortified because we have 25 pounds of it coming, and that was a bad moment.
God, that was just horrendous.
All of a sudden, Nicole Miller walks in.
I'm going to say the reality music is better on this show than Hell's Kitchen.
Well, it's not.
Oh, wait, yes, we're getting the Chilean sea bass.
As it's coming out of my mouth, I'm like, wait, he have a day.
Huh?
Is she just speaking in tongues?
I don't want to judge anybody playing the best, like, ever.
Miss Miller is very against serving anyone sea bass. So being that that was her wishes, and she's our guest of honor.
I was just going to say that.
The salmon was 5 days old, and it was farm-raised. But Michael chose it and served it.
And I do not eat salmon.
Honestly, I think the only thing I can really hope for is that black team is really.
Now, well, what's wrong with farm-raised salmon? Is it the
you know, it's food snobs. Yeah, farm-raised isn't exactly good because they're all in like a tank close together. There's a lot of feces and you know, you have worms and stuff like that. It's not healthy farm-raised fish of any kind.
Well, there's like always an anonymous food critic who judges each restaurant. And I swear he says something like, I'll eat farm-raised salmon when I want herpes or something. He says something like that, and I was like, what?
Isn't Nicole Miller like a fashion person?
Yeah, she was having like dinner there, yeah. And did you catch that part, Bill? I don't know if you saw that, but he was talking about...
No, I didn't, but I wouldn't be surprised because Jeffrey Steingarten says stupid shit like that every week that he's on Iron Chef America. He's a loudmouth.
So basically...
He's not very smart. He's not witty. He thinks he is, but he's not.
Yeah, it's like, you get herpes from fish? Holy shit! I'm never going to Long John Silver's again! No, but anyway,
Silver's
that dreaded cod herpes.
No, but he basically says, you know, when they run out of the fish, the guy's like, we have some Chilean sea bass. And he goes, isn't that endangered? And he goes, not here, it's not, because we got plenty in the back. And he's just kind of like, oh. They all seem like stuffy food people.
Yeah, they're food snobs.
But I don't know. I'll watch it again next week. So, I mean, there's nothing like the insanity of Hell's Kitchen.
No, it's very – it's almost understated. But again – because it's shot on film, there's an incredible amount of editing, and you can never really tell exactly what's going on.
Right. Now, on Hell's Kitchen, what was that type of food he made them make for the opening competition?
Tapas.
And that one scary lesbian, I can't remember her name. She's got a...
L.A.
L.A. Was it L.A. that made that weird-ass-looking soup that looked like dishwater?
It looked like I can't believe I'm saying this, but whenever I like drink too much grape soda or eat too much or eat Jello, my poop turns green, and that's what it looked like. It looked like green poop
water.
It's terrible. I knew I should have said it.
Yeah, I was thinking it. You know, it kind of did look like dishwater. He's like, "That's polling. What is this? I mean, seriously, chick, what the hell did you do?"
Like baby pea soup or something.
It looked like if you put a little bit of dish soap, like if you ate soup and there's a little bit at the bottom, put in some soap and filled it with water and let it soak. That's what it looked like. It looked like soaking stuff in the sink or something.
Yeah.
But they moved that one guy. What is his name? Giovanni or something?
Yes.
It's the Petroza wannabe this season.
Yeah.
He went over to the chick side, but what's funny is, I guess this was Everybody Hates Lacey episode, where she's just a big pain in the ass.
It's because she's so pretty.
Everybody hates Lacey anyways.
It's because of her looks. Everyone picks on the pretty, hot girl. But let's check this out.
Guys, where are we headed? What are we polishing them with? Just a towel? And Robert's like, Lacey, take these dishes back. You know, none of these people here treat me like an equal, and I'm sick of it. We have a load of prep to do. Mm-hmm. Between rolling out cookie dough, this is gonna take off a freaking day, and mashing potatoes. It's awful.
I love the music.
Robert, trust me. I up, and it's
like
not your
problem.
Stop right now and listen to what we're trying to tell you.
I'm so sick of Lacey. I'm about to use a Jedi mind trick and just choke out of that bitch mentally.
I'm sick of her yelling at me.
And you're not.
I don't care what that fat ass has to say to me. He just needs to say it to my face instead of mumbling it under his breath. I'm not fight. If I fight with anybody right now, I'm leaving. I swear to God. Oh, I hate you guys. I'm sick of taking from you people. It's stopping now. I quit. I get treated like the donkey of the group, and I'm supposed to help these people?
Donkey.
That.
Donkey.
I am not going to compromise my health and happiness for $250,000. No way. It's not worth it.
Oh, wow. It isn't? Poor Lacey.
$250,000 a year.
What?
Yeah, I'd probably do something terrible to my body for.
I love when on the show, whenever anyone says anything about quitting, everybody stops what they're doing, like, "Oh, you want to quit? Go ahead." You know, they just blow it out of proportion. I love Lacey.
She does it every week. Anytime they lose, she does it.
What is?
She's been okay for 2 weeks because they won.
Yeah.
And now because they lost, all of a sudden she's back to.
Whenever I have to do the punishment, and whenever she's going to quit, all she does is she goes out and smokes some cigarettes.
Yeah,
I'm quitting.
And then she
for
feels better after she
minutes.
Gets a little nicotine in her
and,
system.
Yeah, Ben comes out there. He's like, "Hey, we need you." She goes, "Oh, this shit again." And then it cuts to last week, and he's like, "We really need you. We need you." But I love the fact that Jay messed up so bad. I mean, just it's the kind of thing where Ramsey just keeps yelling at him, and you just can't do anything right anymore. You know, because they never tell us really what these guys do. You know, they tell us their jobs, but do they really know how to cook meat or anything? I don't know. Do they rotate positions every week, I think?
Yeah.
It seems like they do.
And finally he gets kicked out. But when Gordon Ramsay kicks him out, I thought he meant just go back to the dorm. I didn't know he meant go pack your shit and get the hell out of here. Because at first I thought he was going to pack all his shit and wait to leave. And Gordon Ramsay go, "What the hell are you doing?" He says, "Well, you told me to leave." He's like, "I told you to go to the dorm. Get out," or whatever. You know, but
yeah.
Apparently he was asked to leave. That was time for him to go.
Yeah, I mean, that was it.
So when he was leaving, I was like, okay, they're not going to eliminate anybody else because they got rid of him. That's the way they do it. Remember the episode where the chick injured her foot and then they didn't get rid of him. So they go through the whole charade of pick two people or whatever, and he's got Ben, who was a jackass. He couldn't cook beef Wellington.
Doesn't cook for his people. He falters.
You know, beef Wellington, I don't think I've ever had it, but it looks really good.
It is. It's it depends on how you make it, but it's filet with like a mushroom thing, like a bed of like not pureed, but like chopped mushrooms with.
Is it in like
wrapped
a pastry or
pastry
something?
Dough. It's good.
Yeah, that looks pretty good. But apparently he can't make it, at least warm enough. And they go through the whole thing where it's Lacey, you know, Lacey will give 110% and all that. And he's like, "Well, the person leaving Hell's Kitchen is, and I'm like, he's not going to get rid of anybody. Weren't you thinking the same thing? Like, why are they going through this whole charade? And he's like, get back. You know, nobody's going home, I guess. Whatever. It's like, all right, well, I guess I had to fit a commercial break in there. But I was like, please not Lacey. Please not Lacey. Come on. I love to look at her. She's gold for the show, yeah.
She's always got like that. Anytime they interview her in that whatever room they have with all the shit behind them, like a pantry, she's always got tears in her eyes.
She's always got to look kind of like,
every time she looks like that, I just want to punch her in the face.
You want to do a Jedi mind trick on her?
And choke a bitch mentally.
About to use a Jedi mind trick and just choke out of that bitch mentally.
Choke that bitch mentally.
What it is, big mama. My mama didn't raise no dummies. I duck a rap.
Now, Dollhouse Bill, this week Echo was in a cult, and she's blind. And we have the fantastic actor Brian Bloom, who we've all seen for years in different shows. He just shows up for a guest stint, and the show is never the same again. He brings his quality acting to the show and then disappears.
He is a game changer.
He changes the game of the show. That's right. And this week on Dollhouse, it's supposed to be a game changer. I keep hearing, Dollhouse will never be the same, Steven. Actually, they haven't said that on any commercials. It's in interviews, on blogs, like 16 different blogs. This is a game changer, Bill. That's what I read.
No, 21 Jump Street was never the same after his one episode.
That is right. I don't remember what episode he was on. Was he the guy who had AIDS?
I don't remember.
Thomas Hansen, his buddy who had AIDS? I don't know. But anyway, no, I think that was Brad Pitt.
He played the little kid that Johnny Depp repeatedly slapped in the hospital.
Oh, my God. I'm totally not getting this reference.
Really? There's a great... I just remember that one little kid like taunting Johnny Depp and him just slapping him.
Awesome. I loved 21 Jump Street also.
Classic.
If they'd only give Dollhouse the chance they gave 21 Jump Street, I think we'd all be happy. Maybe get Peter DeLuise on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be totally rocking. Okay.
Isn't he dead?
Oh, my God.
Get both of the DeLuises on there.
Yeah. The brother who looks like the retarded version of Peter DeLuise.
Isn't one of them on that horrible show on Disney Channel? That, like, Wizards of Waverly Place or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
David DeLuise.
Totally, and it smells like fart.
Oh, okay, on Dollhouse this week, our favorite character, Topher, the guy who's the geek hacker dude who programs all the doll people, he notices that one of the dudes has a chubby in the shower. And he's like freaking out because they're supposed to be blank slates where they don't have erections or anything like that. So let's check out this exchange here, Steven.
Maybe it's just a pee
hard on. Huh?
That happens.
It's in the shower, Steven. That's very disturbing.
You never peed in the shower?
No.
Liar.
I haven't. What? There's a toilet next to the shower. Why wouldn't you go before you get in the shower?
There's running water in the shower. Why not just, pee?
I don't think Heather would like that. Hey, pee in the shower.
Pee is sterile. I mean, come on. It's I understand it actually helps.
Even in, gym class.
But also, why would you need an erection to pee in the shower also?
No.
Sometimes it just happens.
When you've held your pee too long.
And you're in the shower?
No,
are you showering?
I'm saying,
Steven, this holds no weight, your story, okay? Why does he have an erection in the shower?
It's an erection.
I can understand. Okay, say you're asleep and you wake up and you've got morning wood and you need a pee. I understand that, but why would you be in the shower?
Did he just wake up and get in the shower?
No, he didn't.
That's my...
All right, well, let's see what Topher thinks about this.
Doctor.
Topher?
Hello.
Hello.
So listen, here's the thing. I was looking, glancing. I noticed Victor.
You noticed Victor?
Mm-hmm. In the shower, and he's naked.
Victor's naked in the shower.
Right. Anyway, he seemed to be having a kind of man reaction.
A what?
Reaction that a man person might have in the, the naked part shower. Victor
had an erection?
I'd prefer man reaction.
Why?
This is a problem. Let's this see. Can't happen. It shouldn't happen. When they're in their doll state, there's a limpness.
Well, I warned about something like this. This is the eighth time he's had that exact imprint. I've cautioned against repeated imprints in the same dolls, haven't I?
I don't know. You put it in one of those reports?
Of course.
Okay. Well, nobody reads those.
I love Topher. How many times great has happened?
I don't know. I wasn't looking for it.
Well, now you're going to have to. Let's start with the last 3 months of shower tapes.
We're actually going to sit down and look for the...
Man reactions.
Man reactions.
Yeah, it ain't oak, but it's on its way to wood. Are we done?
Go to Wednesday the 23rd, please.
I wonder how much this guy gets paid.
Earn these, and you could just take them home.
Go back. There. Mm-hmm. Wait, freeze that.
I will not.
Of course. If it'd been a snake. Please pretend I didn't say that. Go back to 1757-09. Can you zoom in to his face? Now jump to 2425-14. Freeze. Well, I guess that rules out Miss Lonely Hearts. It's Sierra.
What?
It only happens when she's there, and it started not long after she arrived.
It's that hot
she's
pumpkin
the new
head.
Element that's been introduced to his environment, the catalyst to his physical response.
He likes her.
He likes pumpkin pie.
Yes. Hair pie?
So there's all that. I guess the only thing that they're alluding to with this dollhouse is that it doesn't work. Their technology doesn't work, right? They remember.
And they're doing it very subtly.
Yeah, they're taking their time until the game changer.
You can't keep reproducing the same type of memory, I guess.
I guess. I don't know. But what's cool is Eliza Dushku, she's in a cult and all that stuff, and then they get rid of that stuff. And it's awesome, right, Bill?
It's so good.
I got nothing.
She gets in the cult, and then she's out.
Brian Bloom gets killed, though, so that's sad.
Yeah, he burns.
When's he going to get his own show is what I want to know. I don't know.
Soon, I hope.
He
soon.
Deserves it. Him and his creepy pupil eye thing.
You know, I thought this episode was much more entertaining, and Tim Minear wrote this. And I think that he brought some... Like, that scene with Topher, usually his scenes are really just grating and annoying, but I thought this was also amusing, too. So he added some stuff that was funny. And Joss Whedon wrote tonight's episode, so we'll talk about it next week, unless it's so annoying we just don't want to talk about it anymore. So,
well, it's the game changer.
Yes, and I can't wait to see it. Now, let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back. We'll talk about 24. Because, Steven, I know you're itching to do that.
This was the first 24 this season that I was like, now this is 24.
It's a good 24. And we'll talk about it right after this. How?
What?
Savages attacking!
Once we take this Nissan Silo, we'll rule the world, General Warhawk.
We need Rambo!
Rambo, the force of freedom.
Here's a present, Havoc. Wow! Rambo, behind you!
Warhawk! Rambo, my sword.
Look out! You again!
Rambo, the force of freedom.
Get Rambo and General Warhawk with their battle action weapons, each sold separately.
Now, please pay attention. It's the latest thing, accurate to 100 feet in daylight or night.
Nice balance.
Two settings, narrow and wide beams.
Electronic sighting. Ingenious.
Obvious notion, actually. This is your star sensor. Registers up to 6 tags.
I hope it doesn't ruin the fit of my jacket.
Can't you take anything seriously?
Relax. It's only a game.
Laser tag. Available and moving at the speed of light.
Professor! Gargamel stole all of our food and I'm so hungry I could eat a house!
I'll make something super delicious!
What's Smurfy magic? Look! New Smurf pasta from Chef Boyardee!
It's Smurfy good for you!
There's even Papa Smurf's special sauce!
Wow! Smurfy shape! You
rats! Out Smurfed again!
Thank goodness for Chef Boyardee!
It's Smurfy good!
And now it's his turn.
It all started back when I was a kid on Melmac.
And my name was Gordon. Gordon Shumway. Actually, I prefer Alf.
It's new storytelling Alf.
Say on Melmac, no Tabby Burger.
And he sings, he moves, he tells stories, and even knock-knock jokes, with lots of uproarious cassettes to choose from.
I'll tell you, kiddo, I'm just having too much fun.
Storytelling Alf. Extra cassettes sold separately. Batteries not included.
Ready for something wild when you bite into new Kellogg's Pop-Tarts. Because now Pop-Tarts have even more fruit filling for a taste that's better than ever.
Introducing Leatherhead, the evil Cajun Gator.
Leatherhead, these are your targets, the friends of the Ninja Turtles. Yusaki Yojimbo, the Samurai Rabbit. Casey Jones, the Sports Warrior. And Metalhead, the robotic turtle vending machine. Destroy them!
Whoa, better watch the old blood pressure, Shredhead. Now you can get a pop-up display stand inside specially marked packages of turtle figures. Great for displaying turtles when they're not eating pizza. From Playmates.
Battleship presents Famous Sinkings, April 9th, 1989. Fleet Commander Robbie Grant fires the shot that sinks his brother's destroyer. This glorious moment is remembered as the last time Robbie was allowed in Michael's room. August 19th, 1989. Playing electronic battleship, Admiral Harold Burns Jr. programs a devastating attack. Dad says,
"You sank my battleship."
And history is made. Battleship and electronic battleship from Milton Bradley. It's a hit.
I love the chocolatey crunch of Cocoa Puffs. I crunch them everywhere I go.
Sammy, wait! You can't eat your Cocoa Puffs here. That chocolatey crunch is too big.
But I love those big chocolatey puffs. The yummy part of my nutritious breakfast that stays crunchy even in milk.
Mmm, love that chocolatey crunch.
Oops. We gotta crunch someplace else. But where?
Can your house handle the big chocolatey crunch of Cocoa Puffs?
What's hot? Hot Wheels. What's cool? Light speeders. Super fast cars you command with powerful beams of light. You can control the speed with your hyperlight controller. Super tight on curves. Recharge for power between races. They're lightning fast. Take off with the speed of light. The future is here. Now. Light speeders. So hot. So cool. Hot Wheels light speeders. Batteries not included. Not for use with some cars. You put it together. New from Mattel.
Are coming.
Yes, and Mario is your only hope. Team up with him in the new Super Mario Land. Guide him on the Nintendo Game Boy. Challenge the mysteries and terrors of ancient Egypt. Battle all the horrors of the deep. Master lots of weird worlds to give Mario a happy ending and make your world a better place. New Super Mario Land and other exciting games for Game Boy. Nintendo, now you're playing with power, portable power.
I can tell, Brenda. You're the kind of babysitter with a sensitivity and intelligence. So let me see up and eat these new swirls from Jell-O Pudding Snacks. Not because swirls are butterscotch, vanilla, and chocolate pudding in a cup, but because I have this medical condition, and it's aggravated by a lack of Jell-O pudding in my diet. And if I don't make it, I want you to have my dog.
New butterscotch, vanilla, and chocolate swirls from Jell-O Pudding Snacks.
Introducing Thundercats Berserkers. Dino battles the Berserkers with a Sword of Omen. Top Spinner. Cruncher. Hammerhead. Rambam. Berserkers. Dino and the Mutant Berserkers each sold separately from LJ.
The trail on the donkey!
Wrong, Mom.
It's time for the Pringles jingle.
Huh?
Once you taste the flavor, then you get the fever. Then you've got the fever for the flavor of a Pringles. Once you taste the fluffer...
You need help.
Once you taste the flavor, then you get the fever. Then you got the fever for the flavor of a Pringles.
Yeah! Once you taste the flavor...
It's a deep-fried taste.
Then you get the fever.
It's the crispy crunch.
Then you got the fever for the flavor of a Pringles.
Wait till you taste Pringles now.
We'll be right back.
smells like fart.
Oh, my goodness.
That's always fun.
All right, Bill. Tonight is the big finale for Battlestar Galactica.
It is.
And we don't need any spoilers in the chat room, right?
Yeah.
It's because what'll happen is I'll probably wait a couple days before I even get to watch it.
Really? You're not going to watch it right after the show?
No, remember my brain's mush. I need to watch a comedy.
Oh, yeah. You need to watch a comedy.
No, I really, the last episode of Battlestar Galactica got me all excited for the finale, but...
You're going to let it come to you?
Just going
to
let it cool on the windowsill. Like a nice
like a nice hot pie.
Yes. Nice hair pie.
Oh, thank you.
But seriously, 24 was really good this week because...
It was. It was terrific.
Because we all love Clarence Boddicker, do we not?
Oh, yes.
We love that actor, Red Foreman.
Red Foreman.
Red
Foreman.
It's like, what is his real name? I can't remember.
Curtis. Curtis. Something Curtis.
I always ask Heather. She's got it on Total Recall. She can tell me immediately, but I can't think of it right now. Somebody in the...
It's funny. I always just knew him as Clarence Boddicker.
Yeah.
Clarence Boddicker, come quietly or there'll be trouble.
Just give me my effing phone call.
What the hell is his name?
I always love what in RoboCop when he goes, with the shotgun.
Yeah, that's great.
And blows his hand off. Holy shit. The first time I saw that when I was a kid, I was like, oh my God, I think I'm going to throw up. It's awesome.
His entire hand just splatted.
That whole scene where Peter Weller gets blown away, that's disturbing, isn't it? The first time you see it, it's shocking. But then you watch it over and over again on cable where you're desensitized. But the first time I ever saw RoboCop, I thought that was sick.
You're like going, whoa.
That is nasty. And remember the first part of the movie where the Ed 209 kills the guy?
Yeah.
There's like chunks of them flying off. Like it's like the most bloody squibs I had ever seen before. When I first saw it, I was like, oh my God, I think I'm going to be sick.
I think they actually put like chunks of chicken liver in those squibs because they're just so freaking bloody.
And you know, after that point in the movie where Peter Weller is killed so brutally, it's like, man, anything can happen in this movie. I'm kind of like...
on edge?
Yeah,
waiting.
I'm kind of on edge. I don't want to see some gross shit, man, because that was pretty nasty. And then, of course, later on, you get to the Emil and the toxic waste.
Yeah.
I love that. He's like, help me. I love that actor. God, I don't know anyone's actor.
Paul Crane
names
or...
tonight.
Yeah, Paul McCrane.
The devil from Reaper. He's like, get away from me, man. I don't know anyone's names anymore, Bill or Steven.
It's driving me crazy.
Yes. But 24, awesome.
Ray Wise.
He's the best thing about Reaper. I love him so much on there playing the devil. He's always my favorite one from last season where he's talking about he invented the idiot tax. And he's like, what are you talking about? And it's the lottery. The devil invented the lottery. And he calls it the idiot tax. I love that. But in this most recent episode, he does AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and he goes, you didn't have a drink last night. Well, guess what? You're cured. You're not an alcoholic anymore. And the guy's like, I'm not. He goes, here, have this bottle of whiskey. Don't worry about it. You're not an alcoholic. He's like, oh, my God, that's awesome.
The show can be funny.
Now,
I still hate that guy that plays Sock.
Sock. I love Reaper. I'm so glad it's back. We need more of that show. But it'll probably be canceled this season. But 24, what happens this week is Jack, you know, everyone thinks he murdered that guy in the hotel room. Or, no, the hospital room.
Hotel room.
The gas.
What's he doing in the hotel with that guy?
That was later. He needed to take a nap. But, you know, where does Jack use the bathroom at? I guess he's just got to break into somewhere.
I think during the commercial break, he just drops trow and does it where he needs to do it.
You know, what's funny is I've been playing a lot of Grand Theft Auto, so I was actually entertained by Jack hot-wiring two cars in the episode. I was like, nice. Yeah, right on, man. I've been playing GTA. That shit's sweet.
Grab your controller and press the left and right trigger. Does he do it faster?
He smashes the window, sticks his Mac 10 out the window. But he goes to Clarence Boddicker's house, who's the senator guy, Senator Mayor, and he's like, I think I know what's going on here, but I need your help. And here's the scene here where basically what it comes down to, Bill, is Blackwater is they're causing all this, right?
Blackwater.
The real-life Blackwater, you know, basically it's a hired military organization.
Is it called Starkwood or something?
Yeah, Starkwood. They're doing whatever they want.
Kurtwood. That's his name, Kurtwood.
Kurtwood Smith. Kurtwood Smith. It is now in my memory banks. I will never forget again.
Nice.
I will. All right, let's check the scene out. It's awesome.
Oh, my God. That's it.
What?
Your informant claims that Starkwood was trying to acquire a bioweapon. That's your connection to Juma.
I don't understand.
When Juma was in power, it was rumored that he was running an illegal weapons program. He was developing a bioweapon, but nobody could prove it. But the people that I knew in Singala believed he was testing these weapons on his own population. He used a remote village, released some kind of pathogen. Everyone there was struck with dementia, paralysis, and eventually died.
Why wasn't this pursued?
Because Juma destroyed
the Umbrella Corporation
in the village before anyone could get there, and UN officials had a hard time believing that Juma had the technology or expertise to develop such a weapon. But Starkwood.
He's talking about Resident Evil 5.
Technology and the expertise.
Yeah, exactly.
And what did Juma have to offer Starkwood?
A safe haven to develop the weapon, and an endless supply of victims to test it on.
Oh my God.
Even if all this was true, why in the world would Starkwood want a bioweapon?
Senator. You've been trying to dismantle Starkwood for the last 6 months. Maybe they planned on fighting back, but regardless, if they have a weapon like this, you better believe they intend to use it.
Senator Mayor, it's Metro PD!
Don't you move.
You're obviously under something. They can help you find the evidence you need to prove your case.
Right now, everyone thinks I killed Ryan Burnett. No one's gonna listen to me.
I can protect you. I can order them to help us.
I'm not a bad guy. I swear I'm the cops.
Yeah.
As soon as they find out you're going after them for a bioweapon, they'll bury the evidence.
Then we'll keep the circle small.
It's like, all right, dude, keep your shorts on.
It's time for you to start trusting the institution.
I'm in the crapper.
You sacrificed so much to protect.
I love this. Trust Jack, I'm your friend. I will help you.
Son, you have to start somewhere.
Senator! Metro PD!
You really think you can do this?
I know I can.
Didn't they ever think to look outside and see if a cop car was there?
Whoa! No! he finally got somebody on his side and blam! Yep.
But that's like so typical old 24. He finally gets like an enemy on his side and then don't gone.
I know, it's the guy who was wanting to put him in jail, and he believes Jack now. He's going to help him. I will lead the crusade for you, Jack, and let me just answer the door first, and... Oh!
If you look to the people, make sure it's not a zombie.
Doesn't this show have the best silencer gunshots?
Oh my God, I love that gun. I want it.
Listen to that. It's got some nice bass to it.
The looking silencer on it, too.
And then later, Jack gets in this knockdown, drag-out fight with this guy, and he goes into a shack and, like, knocks it over with a tractor or whatever.
Oh, that was genius. I was like, where'd he go? Oh, he's got a gigantic bulldozer.
He's like, whoa. The guy's like, oh, shit. And
it was just one of those episodes, like one of those classic 24 episodes where it was like equal parts awesome and ridiculous.
And I almost found myself wondering, where's Tony? And he's sitting there like in a nice quaint cafe until his phone rings and Jack's like, hey, Tony, I need you. And he's like, he comes alive like, it's like, all right, Jack, I'll come and help you. They've had nothing for my character to do the last 2 weeks.
That's all Tony does. He waits around for Jack to call.
He's like, just shut down. I think he's an android is what's going on.
He'll appear on the Sarah Connor Chronicles anyway.
Oh! I just love the way Jack goes, no! Like, shit, man! You bastard!
Oh my God.
You bastard!
Now, let's talk about Smallville. Now, when Clark has to go on an airplane trip with Tess Mercer, I think it's funny how they play it like it's just some kind of freak accident happening on the airplane. Like, you don't think even from the beginning that she is arranging all this or planning all this just to see what Clark does to prove he has powers. It's like we have it all. We know it all from the first few minutes of this going.
What's so funny about Smallville is they always do this at least once a season where they put Clark on a plane and you know what's going to happen. It's like their go-to episode. Okay, let's put them on a plane this episode.
I like how they're just having fun. They're drinking some booze. And all of a sudden she's talking about being abused as a child. And it's like, buzzkill. Hello. And
my daddy used to drink this kind of whiskey before he
beat the shit out of me. Now, I love
that he was trying to get her drunk.
Yeah, to find out, like, what did you know in Lex's journal?
Such a Boy Scout, though. It's like she's hot and he's getting her drunk to get information out of her, not have sex with her. It's so wrong.
And then
doing it wrong, Clark.
And then he doesn't even fly. Remember last week, he was like, I think this is episode where he's going to fly. No, what am I thinking? No. I thought it was a game changer.
They're never going to show him fly. They can't.
I thought it was a game changer, Smallville. He was going to start flying.
They're not allowed. The whole Superman license.
What about this, Bill? The fact that in order to go fight crime, he changes into his regular outfit of the red, the jacket and the t-shirt and
the
jeans.
Dude, that's genius.
Even though he wears it all the time anyway.
Why haven't they thought of that before?
I love he goes in the spinning door. He's like, and he changes into his outfit because he's going to go fight crime. How about this? Just wear a ski mask, okay? Then you won't have to worry about anybody seeing you.
A blue and red ski mask?
Yeah, something like that. It doesn't make any sense. But the best part of this episode is Jimmy. He's in the hospital. He's on a lot of drugs. He's trying to recover from being mauled by some kind of alien creature.
He's going batshit insane.
Yeah, he's going batshit insane. He thinks he's seen Davis strangle some guy. No, put a bag over some guy's head. I love that. And he's got the hoodie on and he slowly turns. Oh, my God. It's
Davis.
He turned
into the hunter from Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, he did. He's just like clawing at him. But I love Jimmy's like, no, I saw Davis. He's like, no, you're crazy, man. I spent the night in jail. I didn't do jack shit, dude. What's your problem? And he's like, oh, I don't know. There's something wrong with your drugs. It pumped too much into you. And
I love it. You were hallucinating.
And Chloe's so worried because she thinks that this is all her fault. If Jimmy didn't know her, none of this would have ever happened. What kind of weird logic is that?
I blame the morphine.
Yeah, it's the morphine. But here we have a clip here. Basically, what it all comes down to is Davis really has killed someone. And he hid the body. Jimmy found the body. But he keeps making Jimmy think, kind of doubt himself that he's insane. But at the same time, he's like, no, I'm not insane. And there's even the part where he handcuffs Davis. And he's got a pipe and he's going to hit him. But Chloe shows up just in time somehow. How does she find them? And she tasers
GPS.
Him. Yeah. How did she find them, by the way? Okay, wait, I can't do that.
You need to ask, honestly.
Oh!
I mean, Metropolis can't be that big.
Yeah, it's there not. You... It's not that big.
It's like
four
blocks.
Yeah.
You're right. What was I thinking?
It's four blocks
doesn't
in every direction.
Doesn't the hospital look like the same one in Smallville?
Suspiciously.
Was it
like
the Smallville hospital, or was it somewhere else?
It was the Metropolis Hospital, but, you know, they had the same builder.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Steven, you've been in a lot of hospitals. They're all low-lit like that, aren't they?
Yeah.
Real low-lit, where a creature can walk through.
I can barely find my way through them.
They're so low-lit. Could a guy get strangled in the hallways and no one would notice it?
I think it's happened. I think I passed by the...
Could you wear a hoodie and put a bag over somebody's head?
He sees that every day.
No, let's check out. Basically, Jimmy's all strung out, and he breaks up with Chloe, breaks her heart. Let's check it out.
Jimmy, I know you're upset, but trust me, I just stopped you from doing something you would have regretted the rest of your life.
Davis came after me, and I was protecting myself. But you don't believe me. You'd rather believe anyone else but me.
People are watching us. Can we talk about this at home?
Home. I have no home. Abandoned, despised, living like an animal. The jungle is my home. That I will show the world that I can be its master. I will perfect my own race of people. A race of attack.
atomic superman, which will conquer the world.
Okay, you still have a lot of drugs in your system.
I'd say he's pretty strung out.
Yeah. Good I don't Lord. Know why I think that's so funny.
Is that the Ed Wood or the actual?
No, that's the real thing, buddy.
But I love that scene.
True to God, Bela Lugosi.
I love when Chloe gets dumped in front of everyone. She's standing around. Everyone's kind of looking at her. She's like, ooh.
Then yeah, I love that the whole hospital slows to a standstill.
They're all just kind of like, dude, that is embarrassing.
That's exactly that what happens harsh. In a hospital.
You've seen that happen yes. before? Oh, my God.
I stopped and stared at a girl that got dumped, yeah.
Wow. Steven, put Cheryl your arm around Steven. Her. Is it just me or is Jimmy Olsen a douche?
He's a gigantic douche.
I'd rather see her with Davis, seriously, even though he's a monster. Oh, I love yeah. the part at the beginning where he goes to confession and the guy pretty much reinforces his ideas of what he needs to do. Oh, I think you're doing the right thing. And he's like, okay, well, I'm going to keep killing bad guys. It's like he totally like bends it to where it fits his logic, you know? I love that. But I love Chloe. She's sitting in her apartment in the window and it's just pouring rain. It's like tears going down her face.
And is it playing With or Without You?
I can't remember.
I would love no. to count how many episodes of Smallville ended with the characters in the rain.
Got me some snacks, yeah?
Yeah. But Davis is looking up at her, huddled up in his jacket. He's all wet, and he's like looking up at her. Oh, God. I thought it was a great episode.
And then he got his boombox out of his van. Turned
nice.
On Peter Gabriel.
Holy shit, the Punisher!
It's him!
Yes.
Yeah, and the Punisher showed up and took out Doomsday.
Now, this week on Lost, it was a continuation of what happened before where Kate, Jack, and
Hurley
show up. And I love the scene where they're giving them their jumpsuits and everything, and Jack sits down with that guy from all the videos. I forget his name because I can't remember any names this week.
Marvin Candle?
Yeah, that's one of his names. Time. I love how he's sitting there, and it's almost like Jack is kind of smiling because he's like, this is the dude from the orientation video. He's like, hi, Jack, let's see. And he's like, I'm going to be a workman. He's like, your aptitude test was low enough where you'll be like a janitor.
But I think he's laughing because you know that
Sawyer
did that on purpose.
Yeah, he made him a dumb guy. But I also like that part where he first shows up and Hurley picks him up and hugs him and everything. But then when Saeed shows up later and they have to make him a prisoner and all that stuff, I like, you know, the little, you know, basically they're giving us nods to previous episodes, like the guy's building the swan model mm-hmm. and all that stuff. But also there's the weird stuff with Sun, where she goes back to the island. I love that she hit Ben over the head because you remember Ben is going back to the island. And I was thinking, wait a second. When Locke wakes up, Ben is injured or knocked unconscious somewhere. Laying
yeah.
on a, and so right then she hits him over the head, and I like that. So when they show up and then there's the smoke creature, I think they're pretty much telling us that Christian is the smoke creature, right? I don't know. What? Like he can form him?
Well, I mean, Christian's part of the island. I think he channels whoever it is that...
Because, you know, you hear the smoke monster. And
yeah.
And I love Jeff Fahey, you know, the lawnmower man. He's like, what is that? And she's like, oh, it's squirrels or something.
And then for some reason he goes, I'm God here!
I'll make every telephone ring in the world! I don't...
Genius!
It is genius! But he shows her where her husband is, and it's in a picture from 1977, the group photo. And he's like, you got a long journey ahead of you. So whatever that means. Now, have you seen this, Bill, where apparently there's a shot there of Sun standing there as Christian's talking to her, and there's someone moving around behind her? And
yeah, it's like a little girl or something.
Someone took a shot, and it's like some female behind her. And some people are like, was this meant to be there? Is it some chick who accidentally got in the shot that works on the set?
Somehow I doubt that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. How would they be that sloppy?
Yeah, yeah. It's like the scene of the ghost in... Three Men and a Baby.
Oh, yeah. And wasn't it like just a cardboard cutout?
It was a cardboard cutout with a hat on.
But there's all this stuff like, well, actually, where they filmed that, a boy died in that apartment.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Of course.
Oh, my God, where did you get this information? I made it up. I pulled it out of my ass.
It was
ass.
On Wikipedia. I
got it from Snoops.com.
Now, what does it look like Juliet's kind of, when she sees Jack, when she opens the door and he's there, she's not, it's almost like, why did you guys have to show up and ruin everything?
Yeah, you're kind exactly of, right.
Well, here's the part. Here's the scene where Jack has a talk with Sawyer. Let's check it out.
Take a load off. You want a beer?
No. No, I'm fine.
What can I do for you, Jack?
I don't even know where to start. How about with Saeed? I had no choice. He was running around in the jungle, got caught by my people. Seeing as how he can't tell the truth about how he got here. I had to improvise.
Improvise?
Uh-huh. For now, Saeed is safe, which is all that matters.
So where do we go from here?
I'm working on it.
Really? Because it looked to me like you were reading a book.
I heard once Winston Churchill read a book every night, even during the Blitz. He said it made him think better. It's how I like to run things. I think. I'm sure that doesn't mean that much to you, because back when you were called in the shots, you pretty much just reacted.
Ouch.
See, you didn't think, Jack. And as I recall, a lot of people ended up dead.
Why do you have to
go? I got us off the island. But here you are, right back where you started. So I'm going to go back to reading my book, and I'm going to think. Because that's how I saved your ass today.
What book was you reading, Bill?
I couldn't see. It was in shadow. I'm going to think some thoughts.
You
got to
do
is go home
and get a good night's rest. Let me do what I do. And ain't that a relief?
Yeah.
I almost feel like they're like in this comfort zone now, and they don't want any of it upset.
What was so great about that moment is finally, you know, Sawyer has said everything that should have been said about Jack. And Jack, like, took on this persona of, hey, I'm the leader. But he did everything by instinct instead of thinking about it first. And now Sawyer has finally taken the reins of, like, the true leader of the people of 815.
Right. And we even had gripes about Jack in early seasons because it always seemed like, does the guy even take a moment to think, you know, stop for a minute? He would just react, you know?
Yeah.
And I like that he was kind of telling him there, like, no, I like to sit and think about things. And I'm going to get a good night's sleep and then think about what to do with Saeed, you know. But then they show the scenes next week. It's like, oh, okay, this is what he's going to do with Saeed, you know.
Yeah.
But I love that at the end that Ben shows up to give him a sandwich. He's like, what's your name? I'm Saeed. And he's like, Benji Linus. Nice to meet you.
See on Saeed's face, like, I should kill him right now.
My friends call me Sex Man. Oh, my God. That's him. I knew it.
Canada, but not really.
Come here, Sex Man.
Sex Man. Love that kid. Now, not in that. What the hell? Come on.
Holy shit, the Punisher.
It's him.
What? No. Now, another thing is they show next week that Juliet, I know it's all out of context, isn't it always, scenes to next week?
Yeah.
But Juliet's like, stay away from him. Please don't have it turn into that kind of thing. I don't care. Kate versus Juliet and her affections for Sawyer. Don't care. Don't want to see that. Matter. Don't give a shit. Do you, Steven?
Nope.
Who do you want Sawyer to end up with, though, Steven?
Kate.
You bastard!
I mean, Juliet!
This is going to be the biggest disaster.
Okay, but
I think now live is down, or our audio's down. It was skipping, and now there's nothing. And it says, even Montreal guy said the meter's moving, but no audio.
I could disconnect and reconnect for him.
Try it.
Yeah, I just refreshed it, so there we go.
Okay.
Oh, that's the first time that happened. That sucks.
Yeah, but I think there's something going on with now live.
Hey, that's why we podcast, guys. You'll be able to listen to it later.
And this will be cut out.
Now, Battlestar Galactica tonight is the 2-hour season series finale. I'm going to say series finale. And I'm excited about that. Last week they had the episode where it's gearing up for the big finale. And I thought, you know, there were particular scenes that I really loved in there. Like, I'll just go ahead and skip ahead to the fact that they're dismantling Galactica. You know, people are taking parts or whatever. I have my eyes on the air scrubbers, by the way.
Mm. Those are always important. I hear the guys from Apollo 13 really want those, too.
But I love the scene where, you know, you know they threw this in because it's Edward James Olmos' son. It's Bodhi Olmos. I don't even know if they've ever had a scene together where they talked. He, like, drops all these pictures, and he's holding his baby. And he's like, here, let me help you with those. And he's like, yeah, I'm getting all the other pilots that passed away or whatever. I don't want those to get left down there with all the other photos. He's like, what other photos? He's like, well, I guess it's people who's died who had pictures of their loved ones. All the pictures are staying. So he goes down there, and he's looking around at all the photos, and you realize how many people have died. Because a shitload of people have died.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees a picture of Hera there, and I think it's kind of sad. Because when they cut over to the Cylons and Cavil, the dude's got a friggin' drill. What the hell is he going to do to this poor little girl?
Yeah.
And it's pretty disturbing. I don't know. Maybe it's because I see Emma running around the room. I'm like, they got a friggin' drill? We're going to dissect her or whatever? So I love that he kind of sees that picture of Hera, and then he walks, but he stops. And then he turns around and he takes it. And then he's like, you know what? No. What the hell? We're going to live without Galactica? I'm going to live on the friggin' Cylon ship? No, I'd rather go out in a blaze of glory, go try to get that girl back, maybe die in the process, maybe Galacta will go down in flames, but hey, that's a better fate than just floating around with Cylons.
I was chatting with a guy in the airport. I was like, is he gonna die, you know, the pose in the last Galactica from the 70s, you know, no.
You know what I always loved is the episode, remember when they saved everyone for Caprica, and it looks like the ship is going down, Galactica's not going to make it, and yeah, it looks like they're going to all die, and I love he gets on the comedy and goes, it's a pleasure to have served with you. You know, it's just like, shit, this is it, wrong toast. But
you don't want to hear your captain say that.
Yeah, it's like, the guy who's just like the chef in the kitchen, he's like, now what's going on? I'm making sandwiches in here. We're about to die.
Am I still peeling potatoes?
Yeah, the guy who's peeling potatoes is punishment.
Damn, these masks were going to be great.
Fush and space potatoes.
Hey, watch your mouth.
Hey, whoa.
Fracking.
Space potatoes makes something
angry. Jazz dude don't got no brains in it.
Now, yeah, I love all that. But I also love, there's the flashback with Rosalind where she's with her sisters and they've just had like a baby shower. And she's, I thought that was a very well done scene because it seemed like, you know, their sisters, everything's happy. And I assumed as I'm watching it, oh, they probably die in the attack.
Yeah.
It's pretty sad in the attack and, you know, everyone loses everyone. But then in the next scene, the police show up to her house and they're like, we need to talk to you. Your father, your sister, her unborn child, and your other sister all died a minute ago in a car accident with a drunk driver. So sorry about that. See you later. And it's like, huh? It's like, damn.
Thanks. We'll let ourselves out.
Yeah. We'll just, hey, I'm going to get a bite to eat in your kitchen before I leave.
We're going to make a sandwich.
We have to make it to the Caprica Big Boy before it closes.
But then she goes outside or whatever. And I almost felt like that scene was kind of like what she's been dealing with the whole time. That's how she handles things. She doesn't burst into tears or whatever. She just kind of like accepts
it. Internalizes it.
But also it really Fs you up at the same time. But I got to say, this. Let's talk about this scene here where Adama and Starbuck, they lay down the tape and then he gives this talk to everybody.
Can I have your attention, please? I'm sure you're all aware that a child was abducted from this ship recently. I thought that a rescue mission was impractical. Well, I was wrong.
No one should feel obligated to join this mission in any way. This is a decision I have made for myself.
If it turns out that there are not enough personnel to crew Galactica, I will lead a Raptor assault with anyone who is willing to join me. Let there be no illusions. This is likely to be a one-way trip. So don't volunteer out of sentiment or emotion. There is a line running down this deck. Volunteers, move to the starboard side. Everyone else, to the port.
What I love about that scene is just before that, Apollo and Baltar have had this conversation in the other room where he's like, you know, Baltar, I'm not buying your bullshit. Just prove to me once you've ever made a selfless decision where, you know, you weren't guaranteed to get out of it without a scratch on you. Just something where you took a risk for somebody. Just prove it to me. And he's like, oh. He's like, I wouldn't trust me either. So right there, Adama's saying, anybody who crosses this line, they want to join the mission, do so now. And you see everybody going over there, you know, all the familiar faces, even the, you know, the guy who's got the son, even Doc Cottle, he goes over there, he goes, no, no, you can't go, you're a doctor, you're like the only doctor, you can't go. And he's kind of like, oh, and he turns around. So you can, they keep showing Baltar, like, he's like, should I go across that line? Maybe. And then all of a sudden you see cancer-ridden Rosalind, like, oh, and she's walking, and she volunteers. It's almost like, well, I can't go now. You know, it's like, I'll look like a punk now because she just went. It's like she took, you know, if he would have gone, maybe.
Cancer chick upstaged everybody.
Yeah, like if he would have gone before then, it would have been like, whoa, Baltar's going. But now after she comes, if he would have gone, it's just like, yeah. So he's like, well, I can't go now. But that's what I got out of that scene. I thought it was funny. But they did a great job of building up to this finale where it looks like they show the Cylons are like parked right next to a friggin' black hole. Did you like that?
No,
like,
that's where I park.
They're just like, right, it's like impossible to get to them unless you jump like right over them in the line of fire. It's crazy. Can't wait to see what happens there. I can't believe the series is over, honestly, because I have a feeling it'll be like that with Lost. Like, we'll be talking about like next week's the last Lost. Can you guys believe this shit, you know? Because isn't next season the last Lost?
No, there's one more season after the next.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever about that. But still, I can't believe that Battlestar Galactica is ending. And I'd say they brought a lot of class to Sci-Fi Channel, would you not? Yeah. Look at all the other shit they have on that channel. Seriously.
They brought enough class to it that now that it's over, they want to change it to, Sci-Fi?
Yeah, Sci-Fi. Sci-Fi. Have you seen that, Steven? If you read 16 different blogs, you would know this, Steven. But they're changing from sci-fi, the spelling, to S-Y-F-Y, sci-fi. Sci-fi. Who are the ad wizards who came up with that one? I mean, seriously, yeah. What the hell did they...
That's where you live.
It's like, now that we have no credibility, we might as well change it to a ridiculous name.
And, you know, they're starting the show Caprica. I have no idea what that show's going to be like.
They might as well went like this. It's... Fi...
Oh, God, Steven, that's bad.
That's as bad as S.Y.
Yeah.
I do like that we got a little bit of a snort in with that one there.
Steven, look out! Oh, sorry, Steven. You must die now!
Try not to get blood on the
couch. That's what I was saying. That's as bad as... Mine was as bad as that.
Come on, God. Why would...
Come on, God.
Why is Steven going unpunished for this?
That sounds a little bit too much like,
I like this world!
Yeah, it does. I love that. All right, Bill, you ready to do some news?
Sure.
Let's do it!
Okay, you still have a lot of drugs in your system.
Oh, Bill, are you all right? You coming down?
Yeah, it's tough, but I think I'll make it.
All right,
nothing
Bill.
Little Sam E. can't fix.
What it is, Big Mama. My mama raised no dummies. I duck a rap.
All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
All right, I'm going to jump around a little bit. I have some normal news and some, entertainment news. Like I just mentioned, Sci-Fi is changing their name to SYFY.
That's so
pretty
stupid.
Much on every blog or TV site, there's pretty much a shitload of indignation about it. There was one, I can't remember which site it was, but somebody said that the new name makes them vomit tears. It's just, it's so really stupid. One of them said it sounds like the name of a water bottling company. Another one says it sounds like a kind of mop blender in Gossip Magazine.
I thought it sounded like some kind of Web 2.0 application like you'd use for your Twitter or something, you know, on your iPhone. Sci-fi.
Did I say earlier in the week it sounds like a slang for syphilis?
Yeah. Dude, you got the siffy.
You got the S-Y-F-Y.
I'm watching siffy. Oh, you better watch out, bud.
There's
a lipness. That'll make your dick fall off.
Whoa.
But yeah, now that the PSG's over, they decided to change it to siffy.
Sci-fi. We need to dumb this down even more. You know what I think? Okay, you've got a boardroom of people who need to make decisions to prove that they're doing something at their job. How do we appeal to people who don't like sci-fi? Let's put a S-Y-F-Y. They'll think, this is sci-fi, but it's not too brainy where they could dumb it. We've dumbed it down enough where the Joe Sixpack could watch.
Yeah, this here's not stuff that
because don't you think they say
Professor
Joe
Hawking can watch?
Wasn't there a moment in Smallville this week where Chloe said Joe Sixpack?
Yes, she did.
I was just like, oh my god, she didn't just say that.
Oh my god,
I know, Jack.
All right, this one was sent to me. This story was sent to me by one of our listeners on Facebook, Hunter. I can't remember what his handle is.
Oh, Dee Dee McCall. What is she up to these days?
Yes, exactly. Brass Balls McCall. in Mansfield, Louisiana, authorities arrested a 32-year-old man on drug charges on Thursday after construction workers saw him on his hands and knees eating mud and growling like a dog. A woman who accompanied the man from Texas told investigators he had been wandering around the complex and eating dog food.
Oh my gosh.
Sheriff Lieutenant Horace Womack, awesome name.
Womack!
Horace Womack, said a small bottle of PCP, a half pound of marijuana, and 1/4 ounce of crack were seized during the man's arrest. So, I mean, he had a nice stash there on him.
Good
there
Lord.
He is, real sound. The man was booked with possessing all three jugs, intent to distribute. He was placed in a cell at the DeSoto Detention Center so the jailers could keep an eye on him. I guess maybe they thought he'd bite somebody. I don't. he was rabid.
I wonder.
Some newspaper on the floor in there.
As kids, we would like dare each other to eat stuff like dog biscuits. And my cousin actually licked one of the dog biscuits. I swear, for the rest of her life, it's like once you do something like that, it's like, oh, you did.
Then
like
my uncle gave my brother like $5 to eat one.
And everyone's like, oh, you had a dog biscuit.
No.
You're supposed to make his life a living hell after that, Steven.
Yeah.
Why didn't you do that?
Because we're brothers and we already did that.
Steven, like, I'm sorry, but.
No!
No! Good times.
It's like, shit, I'm screwed. No!
You know, listen to that clip. I love the sound of Clarence Boddicker's body hitting the floor after that. Yeah.
No! It took a little while. It was a delayed drop.
He stood there kind of like, I think I'm dead now. It's kind of like, listen, the best clip ever is the Malone where the body falls. It sounds like he falls down like 3 steps after he gets shot.
Wrong. You gotta find the one clip.
Wait, get the gun.
Big time.
Wrong.
All right,
sorry.
Oh, next bit of news is, I was actually excited about this one. David Gordon Green's one of my favorite directors. I love his movie Undertow. He did Pineapple Express, and he's done a couple episodes of Eastbound and Down.
Nice.
And he's decided on his next film. It's going to put James Franco back in a stoner role, but it's a medieval movie that they plan on using a bunch of Ray Harryhausen types of effects.
Sweet.
And they want to make a big – he says he wants to make a big movie on a big scale utilizing pre-CGI effects like matte paintings, animatronics, and puppets. And it's about a prince who smokes weed and fights dragons.
Oh, gnarly!
Dude, that
and
sounds
it's gonna
totally
be called
gnarly.
Your Highness.
Are you serious?
I am 100% serious.
Yeah, I know that, dude.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I cannot wait for that. I mean, I love
so
those Harryhausen movies.
Oh, I love those effects.
And Sam Raimi used a ton of that stuff for, like, Army of Darkness and all that, and he just used it on such a grand scale. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that has progressed.
You know, like, for like in the 80s, we had, like, on cable, like, every day was Clash of the Titans. I love that shit. It's like whenever they have humans, it's like, oh, boring. Oh, it's the Kraken.
Yeah.
Sweet. Or Medusa or whatever. But those effects, there's something. It was so playful and fun to watch that shit. It was awesome.
There's Cerberus.
I think it actually helped your imagination.
It did.
You are the preeminent postmodern humorist, shifting between the surreal to the slapstick. It stands at the vanguard of the deep fried Dada movement.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Wow. Okay, so Hart Township, Michigan, police said a naked 14-year-old boy talking and walking with a large white poodle assaulted
naked.
A woman in Oceana County.
What?
Yeah, Sheriff Lieutenant Craig Mass told the Lunkin Daily News the boy walked away from a behavioral treatment facility on Monday. Oh, that explains it. He was strolling unclothed in Hart Township with the dog when he encountered a 53-year-old woman in her yard. The young naked man approached her with this poodle, and she immediately realized something was peculiar.
That doesn't make sense.
She spoke briefly to the boy. When the woman took out a cell phone to call for help, the boy pushed her and fled with the phone, which he later broke in half.
Oh my God, this person's
deputies
disturbed.
Found the boy. He was charged in juvenile court with strong-arm robbery and assault. Is it really robbery if he took and broke the phone?
It doesn't matter what you do with the property, you stole
like,
it.
Lady, you're not calling anybody. I'm not ready to go back. I want to be free with
so
my
stupid.
Dog.
You're immature, you're childish, and you're stupid. You're stupid.
Oh, my God.
You're stupid. You're stupid.
Yeah, what if you steal a car and you wreck it? Is it still stealing a car?
Yeah, exactly. Because it's not like you kept it. You wreck, you know, if you wreck a car, you don't...
Free society.
All right, I didn't watch Project Runway. Maybe you're familiar with this chick, this Kenley Collins. She was a finalist on the show last season. She was arrested
no
in
idea.
Brooklyn this week after allegedly throwing a cat at her sleeping ex-fiancé.
It just makes you look like an ass.
Oh, my God.
She was also said to have thrown a laptop, several apples...
Apples?
And dumping water on her ex during... A argument. She was charged with second-degree assault, third-degree assault, and criminal possession of a weapon in the fourth degree.
So what order was it? Was it like, okay, laptop, apples, cat, me?
Yeah.
I'm running out of shit here to throw at you.
I thought you could juggle.
That's cat juggling.
Throw a freaking cat.
Okay, so how many drugs in your system?
That All bitch right. be crazy, yo.
Now this guy's
except
this,
there ain't nothing free because there's no guarantees, you know.
This guy's classic. An Arbuckle, California man is facing criminal charges after authorities say he followed a midweek routine of exposing himself while his wife wasn't at home. Calusa County Sheriff's deputies arrested Andrew Sweet, 31. Wednesday on suspicion of four counts of willfully and lewdly exposing himself.
Naked.
Sweet allegedly was exposing himself from the window of his home on Wednesday for the past month or so. One of Sweet's neighbors called police, offended and concerned that a child might see the display. Sweet picked Wednesdays for the alleged act because he had his house to himself.
Anyone for penis?
Good Lord.
I just don't understand. This guy's like, yeah, the old lady's gone. I'm going to walk around naked and stand in front of this window.
Stand in the window.
Look at my penis.
It's party time. All right, and moving on. It's kind of sad, but we lost a great actor this week. Well, actually, two great actors, but more importantly, Ron Silver died.
That's right, Ron Silver did die.
He's
a guy who had a beard in Time Cop. He's a bad guy.
Yes,
beard.
Yes.
He had a beard.
And,
he's a bearded actor.
He's
and he had
the
terrific roles in Veronica's Closet. And
you know, he was a psycho guy in Blue Steel. Remember that?
Yeah, he was the psycho.
He like got obsessed with killing people.
He was the alien political guy in The Arrival with Charlie Sheen.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Damn it, Frank!
Don't call me Frank.
I mean, he hasn't exactly had the best...
I love that guy, though. Like I was saying, in Time Cop, my favorite part is he comes from the future and he sees his younger self and he's like, lay off the effing candy bars. And he's like a total dick to his younger self. I think it's hilarious.
And, of course, we lost Natasha Richardson, who was hot, and Liam Neeson's wife.
We were just talking about her on Top Chef recently. Remember they did the episode where they did the Christmas banquet for the AIDS benefit or whatever?
Yep.
And
she looked amazing.
She did look amazing. And you know what? It was like the day before I heard it said Natasha Richardson ski accident. It said some kind of minor fall or whatever. And it's like, it doesn't sound too bad. She'll be okay. And then the next day it says Natasha Richardson mourned. She passed away. I was like, what the hell happened? What the hell?
Yeah, that's I think it was an epidural hematoma, so it was bleeding between the different layers between the brain.
I just watched Taken also, so it's like I just seen something with Liam Neeson, and it's just like, he's a widower now. You know, that was his wife, and they had kids. Yeah. It's really sad.
Well, he was a widower in Love Actually. Like, he had just lost his wife, and he had a couple preteen sons, or one preteen son. So it's kind of like, you know, art imitating life.
Only a lot of years later, so.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's really sad.
It's a really crappy way to go, too. And it's something that could have been prevented, if only that the ambulance wouldn't have been turned away. The moment they, you know, you can check on that. Like, a person that has a subdural and epidural hematoma, normally their pupil is blown out or, you know, something. There's noticeable things that are going on that they could have recognized and then got her to the hospital and, you know, drilled a borehole and let the blood out. So this was completely preventable.
So it's basically
makes it even worse.
She had some kind of head injury, and it was swelling in her brain. And by the time they figured out something was wrong, it was just too late.
Well, it bled into the brain.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
the
blood
pressure.
Creates pressure, and it can there's nowhere for that blood to go, so it can like put pressure on the brain. It can put pressure on the brain stem, and you're pretty much it. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's just so tragic that it could have been prevented if they wouldn't have turned away the ambulance.
You know, there's a lot of superstitions and stuff that go on, and it always ends up true. That,
you always feel like...
Well, I'm going to say three celebrities always die.
Yeah, so, there's one more.
So a celebrity's going to die this weekend, so...
Yeah, let's hope it's nobody too important.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, Paris Hilton
be Pauly Shore or something like that.
Yeah, there you go.
That's so horrible. I'm sorry, Pauly.
That's an excellent way, you know.
No, I can't talk about the weasel like that. I apologize.
The weasel.
I couldn't. Oh, shit.
That guy would be very broken up about it already.
He will be very upset over that. No,
all right, Lakeland, Florida, a Polk County teenage student has been suspended from school because he intentionally passed gas, according to school officials. Lakeland Ledger reported that 15-year-old Jonathan Locke Jr. was suspended from Bill Duncan Opportunity School under a school district rule against disruptive behavior.
Totally, and it smells like fart.
School officials said the teen repeatedly passed gas to make other children laugh. They said the smell also made it difficult to breathe.
Hey, there's nothing funnier, man.
That kid knows comedy.
Oh, dude. Meeting's over.
I can't believe they said the smell also made it difficult to breathe. That must have been
pain. Hey, guys, guess what I had for lunch? Oh, no, it's not funny anymore, dude. Seriously. Uh-oh. Oh, what's that? Oh, okay,
another
dude.
Nacho.
Can't breathe.
The son, the boy's father said his son isn't perfect, and they're appealing the suspension, saying the district went too far with its punishment. You know what? If I was the kid, I would blame the school cafeteria.
Yeah, what? It's Bean Friday.
Yeah, it's Bean Friday.
Beans, and more beans every Friday here at the school.
So at the end of the lunch line, there's going to be a Beano for every kid now.
Beano, yeah.
Yes!
You know what? If I would have known about the invention of Gas X when I was a kid, it would have been a much happier childhood, you know? But there would have been no humor.
When I was younger, I constantly farted. I don't know why.
It was hilarious,
or what my
man.
Diet was, but
in my opinion, that sucked.
Huh? But seriously, farting is hilarious, and especially
I know,
in school.
I've always wanted to ask the people that find farting offensive what they find more offensive, the possible smell
it's
or
the
sound of it.
I think it's the smell.
There's a guy.
Like, Steven, you've offended me several times.
There's a guy I work with who's real offended. He goes, I just don't want to breathe air that just came from your ass. There you go.
That stuff can be I remember one time my dad farted in the car and I literally threw up. It was that strong.
Oh, yeah. That's some bad gas there.
That's like the methane that overwhelms your lungs and just turns
it's
your
like,
stomach.
Damn, that shit can power a Thunderdome. Holy shit.
I think it runs the generator in Bartertown.
Who run Bartertown? Bill run Bartertown.
Oh, that's bad. Oh.
Dude, this is a cluster.
The other week, there was a guy who was paraplegic, but he got bitten by a brown recluse spider, and he actually got feeling back in his legs. Now, what's great about this story is a couple weeks later, he's now been arrested for domestic violence charges.
Oh, my
so
God.
So he gets to walk again, so he beats the shit out of his wife. I guess.
This is so nauseating.
You would think that you'd be able to walk again after getting bit by a spider. You'd think, like, man, everything's so great. No. Well, he needs to slap a bitch.
He's like, well, honey, give me a beer. Well, you can walk now. Get up and do it yourself.
I can also kick your ass, bitch.
Oh, my God.
I just love this guy. You know, now he can walk in a 3x3 cell for a couple weeks. I love stupid people. You know, they even have dollar stores in the UK. And I guess this lady shopping in a dollar store, and she found this this toy parrot. And she thought it would make a perfect gift for her baby daughter, 11-month-year-old daughter. So they're on their way home, and it turns out that this parrot actually talks. And the baby squeezed it, and the parrot says, I'm going to rip your head off and shit down your neck.
Holy shit!
Yeah. The woman said that she thought it was a pretty good deal at a dollar, but then I heard what it was coming out of its beak. I couldn't quite believe it. A man in front of me turned around and looked at me and walked off in disgust. She said the toy, which is marketed.
You're so stupid!
Yeah, here's now this proves that she's an idiot. The toy is marketed for adults under the name the Insulting Parrot. There are lots of them, and there was nothing that I could see that had a warning that it swore. Well, it's called the insulting parrot, you idiot. Wants to die.
Oh, do you remember that? The old Elmo? It was like some Elmo toy that somebody put that voice in there. Who wants to die? And it's like, that's disturbing.
There was a couple of those, actually, recently. There was one with, like, a game for the Nintendo DS where it's, like, some sort of, like, one of those baby games where you can feed a baby and all that stuff. And there was some kind of, like, jibber-jabber that the baby said, and the parent thought it said, Islam is the light.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous that some people hear stuff like that when it doesn't say that at all.
Where did they even come up with that shit, Islam is the light? They don't even say that, do they?
I doubt it.
When they say Allah Akbar or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand why. It's obviously, you know, people get this shit in their head and they just start to hear things that aren't actually there.
Put a pillow over your face.
Also, the parrot would say, what are you staring at? Who's a pretty boy then? Not you. And, you know, a couple other offensive things. So I guess the woman had to return it.
Yeah. She gets her dollar back.
she didn't want her child to have a swearing parrot.
All right, cut the crap.
And last story, San Francisco. A man who tried to avoid arrest by faking a heart attack pleaded guilty to holding up nine banks in San Francisco. James Michael Burge, 52, of San Francisco, was caught after he held up a Bank of America on Castor Street last March, and a motorist who had seen the robbery noted the getaway car. Burge had been a passenger in the same car 5 days earlier when San Bruno police pulled it over and arrested him for being under the influence of drugs. He got away when he faked a heart attack and was taken to the hospital where he walked out.
Okay,
now,
you still
after
have a lot of
this
drugs
most
in your
recent
system.
Robbery, police acting on the getaway car tip tracked Burge to a hotel in the Mission District. He was arrested again and faked a heart attack again. But this time, police stayed with him at the hospital, so he didn't get away. I guess, you know, the big one wasn't coming, Elizabeth. And that's news for this week.
You know, his body's going to believe him eventually. He's going to have a heart attack.
I know. He's going to...
He's actually going to have a heart attack. Nobody will believe
Everyone's
him.
Like, yeah, right. He's like, no, really?
That's that boy who cried wolf.
One too many
times. Too
many,
buddy.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the news.
Thank you.
What do you say we do some DVDs?
Let's do them.
Let's do it!
Let's do some DVDs!
Holy shit, the Punisher! It's him! Oh, hey, it's the Punisher. Hey, Bill, what do we got in the DVDs?
Alright. DVDs, Criterion starting to push out their Blu-ray collection this week, starting with the film The 400 Blows, which is one of those films that no matter when it's on, what it's on, I always watch it. I don't know why, there's something about the movie that I really like and always have liked.
You know, I've always heard about this film, but I've never seen it. Please explain to me what exactly it's about and everything.
Alright, it's a film by François Truffaut, but it's kind of his childhood story. And it's a little boy named Antoine who basically has a really shitty life. He has a really mean mom who's cheating on his dad, and he tries to get out of school all the time. He's got a really nasty teacher, and it's basically just him. His life, like what he does day to day, like trying to get out of school, hanging out with his friends, discovering what's going on with his mom, realizing that his dad's a pushover, stuff like that. It's not exactly a happy movie, but it's one of those ones that I can't stop watching whenever it is on.
Do you have to watch the film to understand what the 400 blows means, what the title means?
Yeah, you do.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Figured that out.
And of course, it's a Criterion disc, so it's got, you know, restored, transfer, uncompressed monaural soundtrack, audio commentaries by...
Gotta love monaural.
Well, I mean, it's a movie from 1959. It's not going to have its surround.
But, you know, the purists, they want it like that. They don't want
exactly.
Remember when they released...
Stereo's unnatural.
They released Jaws in, like, 5.1, and the people were like, whoa, no. I want it in mono sound, okay? That's the way it's supposed to be. Bastards.
Hey, mother... Get the up.
Whoa, Jesse James is getting pissed. All right.
All right.
And... Oh, Bill!
Oh, God! Oh! I can't believe he snuck up on me like that. Son of a bitch. All right, and moving on. Moving to DVDs, Andy Richter controls the universe. The complete series.
I watched the first few episodes of that before it got canceled.
Yeah, I always liked it.
I want to see
it. Watchable, yeah.
But
yeah, it's a fun show.
It's not on Blu-ray, so if it's on Hulu, no. I'll watch it. Is it on there?
You know what? I think it is.
Nice. I won't watch that Quintuplets shit, though, or whatever the hell he was in. Remember that?
What the hell was
he was in some sitcom that aired for like 3 episodes where he had a bunch of kids. It just didn't look
good. Yeah, I can't remember what that is.
Yeah.
What do you know from funny, you bastard?
No, sorry.
Gotta love Eddie Murphy in Coming to America.
In the barbershop.
All right, next DVD and Blu-ray is it looks like a direct-to-DVD release called Big Stan, directed and produced by Rob Schneider.
Wow, that's gonna be a good one.
I guess it was actually released in some overseas market last year.
In Japan.
It's referred to as a anti-prison rape movie.
What?
Yeah. Rob Schneider plays a guy named Stan, who's a real estate con artist, who freaks out when he's going to prison for fraud. His fear of jailhouse rape leads him to hire a guru known as the Master, played by David Carradine.
Holy
who helps
shit.
Transform him into a creative martial arts expert.
You're joking me right now, right?
No, I'm not. Stan uses his newfound skills to intimidate his fellow prisoners, gains their respect, and eventually becomes their leader, bringing peace and harmony to the prison yard.
Tinkerbell will be jealous.
Wow. But of course, there's a corrupt warden who...
Why wasn't that released in theaters is what I'm wondering.
It sounds amazing. I'm
warms
just
warms your ass. Wonderful.
I don't know how that guy continues to make movies.
Wow, Steven.
He's
got
to have something on Adam Sandler for
I know.
Adam Sandler to Are keep you gonna, throwing.
Is it a Happy Madison production?
Oh.
And moving on, last week Bolt came out on Blu-ray, but this week it comes out on DVD.
Yes, I like that. Release on
and
Blu-ray
first. I really did not like this movie.
Yeah.
There's just something about it that it just never really went anywhere. It's one of those ones that is written in a way that its message just continually bashes you
Dude,
over the head.
Dude, how many pop culture references are in the movie? They have a lot
Way
of that.
Way too many. And in fact, I think the thing that turned me off the most was the characters continuously say redonkulous in it.
That's kind of cool for the kids or whatever.
Yeah, and I really hate that. that like gives me douche chills anytime I hear redonkulous. Okay.
Well, also, I mean, they got Miley Cyrus to do the girl, like, whatever.
Yeah, and John Travolta's the voice of the dog.
Yeah,
and anytime I hear his voice, I just... Ugh.
Why did they get John Travolta for it?
Yeah, it's so the wrong voice for this dog.
I know.
He's terrible. He's just absolutely terrible. If you thought his acting was bad,
we'd believe how good this feels.
Oh, yeah, there's Travolta right there.
Spread your legs apart.
Hey.
They should have just got Andrew Dice Clay to play.
That would have been great. That would have loved it.
Andrew Dice Clay as John Travolta, as Bolt.
It would have been like they got Jay Moore to do Buddy Hackett for the parrot.
Yeah. What the hell was that parrot movie called? Pauly?
Yeah. Pauly. It's like do Buddy Hackett doing a parrot.
I actually saw Pauly in the theater.
Nice.
I'm ashamed to admit that, but
what?
It's true.
Dude, that's ridiculous.
Nice.
Moving on.
What? Bill, why are you speeding past that?
Yeah, I'm just going to ignore it.
Way to go, Steve. That's good stuff.
The Fast and the Furious trilogy on Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah, buddy. The trilogy be complete, yo.
Wait, aren't they making a fourth one?
Yeah, Fast Furious comes out soon.
Hell yeah. What is that? Let's take out words for the new one.
This is the
too
prequel
fast, too
to
the Furious.
Yeah. The next movie is going to be just called Too Fast. You know, it's like they drop words from each movie as it goes on.
Yeah, and then the other one will be Too Furious.
Yeah.
It's just like the Star Wars series is like the three.
Too Furious to be Fast.
Well, they'll do TFTS will be one. They won't even spell anything out.
Yeah. See, that's like the ultimate.
TFTS.
Yeah. I actually liked the Tokyo Drift one, but the other ones I'll pass on.
Too Fast, Too Furious, A New Hope.
What you mean by liked is you didn't change the channel, right?
No, anytime it's on HBO or something, I'll just leave it on.
I didn't see Fast and the Furious, the first one. I saw that on DVD. I didn't see it in the theater, but I saw Too Fat, Too Furious in the theater, yo. I saw it in the theater.
Isn't that the John Singleton one?
Yes. John
too fast,
Singleton
too furious.
Hired out.
Did I see you with you?
No. Wait, it's got Paul Walker, of course, but I'm trying to think of the Tate. No, not Tate
it
Diggs. It's got
Tyrese Gibson?
Yeah, Tyrese. I was going to say the black guy was in it.
The black guy, you know.
Well, here's my problem with these films, and I know they do it. I know CGI probably costs money, and it's probably cheaper than actually using actual cars, but... You know, they're driving around in these cars that look like Trapper Keepers. That's my line from Sex Drive.
But, yeah, that is funny. I like that.
That car, you know, I'm going to lose you to a car that looks like a Trapper Keeper. But when it gets down to the race, it's all of a sudden CGI and everything stretching out, going to warp drive. Can't they do like a actual car race?
Yeah. And then all their LCD like readouts for the speedometer.
Yeah, I love that. They've all got NOS. They're all like...
And then you go into the bullet time where you go through the NOS goes into the engine.
Yeah,
you see
I love the shots whenever the car drives towards the camera and then you go through the engine block.
Yeah, you see the bugs in the grill
and you come out the tailpipe.
Yeah, you got to do that. What the hell is that shit about? Why do you have to... It's like in movies where they... We're running a trace on the call. Okay, let's send the camera through the phone cord into the... And there's the bug inside the phone. You know, they do shit like that. It's like every CSI, they do shit like that. Some kind of... something was coming in through the vent. Well, let's send the camera up through the vent.
Don't they do something like that in Untraceable, Bill?
Yeah, I think that... Yeah, they do. Hey, did you see Untraceable, Steven?
I sure did.
Steven.
It was on cable. He got it in by the... DVD.
So horrendous.
Oh my god.
That guy's such a good hacker though, isn't he?
Oh, I just that was so terrible. Let me hack into your car computer while you're driving down the road.
Oh, don't you have any movie where you can hack into a car computer? Hey, somebody locked my doors on their Wi-Fi setup at Starbucks on their laptop. How'd they do that?
Let me just break into your car's computer system that just happens to have a wireless connection.
Oh, don't you love... there's a part in 24 this week where Jack, he uploads while he's driving on a laptop a photograph, then sends it... he attaches it to an email he sends to Renee.
Don't you understand that he's using the new Verizon wireless mobile broadband.
Oh.
He takes that whole, he takes that USB thing out. They show, I mean, they actually show him putting it on the computer.
It depends on if he's saving it as a JPEG or a bitmap.
Bitmaps can be like triple the size of a JPEG.
But the best part about all that whole scene is he's driving while he's doing it. He's looking down and looking back up. He's driving while he's typing.
He's driving with his knees.
Dude, that guy, he can multitask.
It is
awesome. And by the way, if anybody's bored with the show, just go in the chat room. Credo's doing the Credo show again. And I guess since Don Shep isn't in there, he's taken over for Don Shep this
can
week.
Can we cock a bathroom?
Also like I always enjoy watching the chat room, seeing them do their own comedy shows.
Hi,
it's funny.
Phantom Dastry.
All right, moving on. James Bond Blu-ray Collection, Volume 3. Now, I have Volume 1 and 2, and they've both got the better movies on it. For some reason, for Volume 3, they decided to completely fleece people and put Moonraker, The nice. World Is Not Enough, and Goldfinger. I mean,
why do they put Goldfinger on with those two?
I know, exactly. Why would you put two other good movies with a good movie? Why put Moonraker and The World Is Not Enough on with Goldfinger? It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
That's hilarious. Just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, I guess they figured Goldfinger is so good that they'd offset it with two shit movies.
I mean, it makes sense from a selling standpoint, because if you're a fan of those, you're going to have to buy it. You know?
Nobody's
you know
going to buy Moonraker.
You can also buy them separately.
Oh, good.
So I'll just buy Goldfinger
but,
on
you know,
Blu-ray and forget about Moonraker.
I am curious to see how these look on Blu-ray.
They're gorgeous.
A while back, MGM HD showed some James Bonds. They show Goldfinger and stuff. It is really cool to watch them in HD. It's just cool. That's one thing that you know we talked about before. HD, you know, it's awesome. Watch the latest movies. But it's so cool to watch an old movie that way.
Yeah.
Because you've
seen
it. They
remaster the film and everything.
Yeah.
It just looks awesome.
And I think the reason it's so cool is because for the longest time, we've watched it over and over again, like on cable in 4x3, cropped, just looks like crap. And we're used to that. Then all of a sudden, holy shit, we're watching it in widescreen the way it's supposed to be. It's really cool.
It's like, I don't know if you know, I know, I've talked to you about it before, trying to watch Ghostbusters on TV is unwatchable.
That's the horrible.
The pan and scan of Ghostbusters is quite possibly the worst
when you
ever.
You actually feel it sliding to fit something.
Isn't that weird? It's like you get motion sickness.
I almost get sick.
Just like Die Hard, they'll show that all the time and just like a full screen, it's so bad how it slides to fit something in the shot and goes back. So bad. Horrible. Hate it. Full screen blows. Alright?
Yes.
You
but the first two...
Asshole.
Oh, dear. Sorry about
the
that.
The first two James Bond Blu-rays have Dr. No and Live and Let Die and For Your Eyes Only from Russia with Love. So
why can't they
release decent ones?
Why can't they do this in order is what I
want
to know.
I know. All I want is for Her Majesty's Secret Service on Blu-ray.
I love that. Best score ever. Are they remastering the sound mixes and everything?
Yeah, they are.
How did those sound?
They sound great. I mean, they sound absolutely terrific.
Now, is it bad that I'm not a purist and don't want to hear it in mono?
But they have them on there, too.
Oh, okay.
Like, they have the Dolby Digital Mono, but they also have the DTS HD Master Audio and 5.1.
Oh, nice.
And they all have, like two sets of commentaries on it, like from the director, casts, crew. You know, they are really terrific Blu-ray sets, the James Bond ones.
Sweet. Sold.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna pick up Goldfinger this coming week. Moving on Blu-ray, The Kite Runner, directed by Mark Forster. I guess they're trying to get these out since Quantum of Solace is also coming out this week.
Got me some slack, yeah.
I actually read The Kite Runner, never saw the movie.
So it's a guy who smuggles kites or something?
No, it's a book about two young boys in the Middle East who are friends and active terrorism separates them, you know, the Taliban and all that.
Wait, what does that have to do with kite flying?
You'd understand it if you if you read the book. It's they like kites, basically.
Do they ever go to the park or anything?
Sort of, kind of, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
there are kites involved.
Will my daughter like it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Because we got her two kites for her birthday. We're going to go
kite
flying
tomorrow.
Well, you
know what? Just go out and fly kites with her. Don't let her watch the kite run.
Okay.
It might you know.
Disturb her.
Disturb her for the rest of her life.
Okay.
Knock it off.
All right. Going on with the James Bond set. Never Say Never Again Collector's Edition on DVD, video, and Blu-ray.
Ooh.
Never Say Never Again.
Oh, man. I've seen this one a lot of times. This is one that wasn't made by the Broccoli's. It was,
yeah, exactly.
It's basically a remake of Thunderball, and
yep.
Sean Connery came back for this after he'd retired or said he'd never be James Bond again. That's why it's Never Say Never.
It's got an incredibly hot Kim Basinger in it.
And it's got, who's that chick? Barbara Carrera?
Yeah, Barbara Carrera.
But it's not a good movie.
No. And it's directed by Irvin Kershner, if I remember correctly.
But
so.
You know what? It has the bad guy from Death Wish 3 in it, so it's worth it.
Yeah, it does. But
Fracker?
Yeah,
Fracker?
Fracker.
Fracker's in it, so you gotta see it.
The commentary with Irvin Kershner and Bond historian Stephen J. Rubin. That's hilarious that you can get on a commentary track because you're a Bond historian. It's like freaking Harry Knowles getting on the Old Boy.
You know, I love Irvin Kershner. This guy needs to be in some kind of Hall of Fame. Empire Strikes Back, RoboCop 2, Never Say Never Again. Thank you very much. He is a master.
I would love to have an Irvin Kershner film festival.
I want an Irvin Kershner box set with those three movies on them. With him talking about.
You can do like his episode of Sequest DSV.
I love Irvin Kershner. That guy's a genius.
He really is. I mean, he's done good stuff, but he's done some...
You know what the best part of Never Say Never Again is? The bad guy's got his own video game with, like, holographic imagery. And
that's awesome.
It actually electrocutes you as you're playing, so there's a part where James Bond's like, oh, it's shocking me, but I can't let go, and it's the voice sounds just like a Cylon. Remember that?
I think Kevin McClory came up with that one.
That whole video game sequence. I think even my dad, you know, so you know, he knows I like video games. He's like, "Hey, you like this video game part? Pretty cool, huh?" And he's like, "Yeah, it's awesome, Dad. It's really cool. Really tying in with the youth of today."
Yeah, is it almost over?
Yeah, when's this movie end?
And again, another James Bond movie, the most recent piece of crap. The Quantum of Solace.
Quantum
on
of
DVD
Solace.
And Blu-ray.
See,
you know what's bad about this is that it's basically part two of Casino Royale, but they could take the last 45 minutes or so of it and just tack it onto the end of Casino Royale.
Right. I can see how it's not as good as Casino Royale, but I didn't hate it, though. I thought it had some cool sequences and
it
stuff,
did
right?
have some really cool sequences, and you know what, I think a lot of people blame Mark Forster, the director, for a lot of it. Yeah, he was trying to be a little Mark Greengrassy, but he's not an action director.
Yep.
I blame the script. I think the script was atrocious.
A lot of people blamed they said it was Jason Bourne'd up, and a lot of people talked about shaky cam and that opening car chase, but I watched that car chase over and over again. There's no shaky cam in it. I'll go ahead on record and say that first sequence is not shaky cam. Now later,
no, I don't think it is either. I think it's just. In fact, I think the camera's pretty much anchored there in the car.
Yeah. And I think that's a really cool edited scene. I think people are just like, oh, they're trying to do Bourne. But later on, when he's chasing the guy, and the camera's shaking then, and it did make me a little sick. But I love shaky cam. I'm just saying that it did shake a little later on.
a little too much shaking.
No, but
and,
I
you should know, have some, the there's some really ridiculous action set pieces, like the Hydrogen Hotel in the middle of the desert. I mean, that was
that.
A
you know,
ridiculous.
The problem with that is that would work in other James Bond films, but what they set up in Casino Royale, it's like we don't need that. Give us some more realism.
Exactly.
But stuff like a Free Runner, that kind of sequence in Casino Royale was cool. Give us something that's cool and kind of out there.
I love Casino Royale. I think it's one of the best Bond movies there have been.
That shit's on Showtime like every day, and I'm like, okay, I'll just start watching it, you know.
But I totally blame the writers, Haggis and
Haggis? What is Haggis? Yeah.
Paul Haggis.
I understand what you mean. It's a continuation of Casino Royale. It's the first, as Andy said, the first true James Bond sequel, and we didn't really need that. We need a whole new story.
Yeah, I was very disappointed when I saw it, but it's not terrible.
It's not. It's not. I don't think it's a horrible film, but it's not what the bar was so raised with Casino Royale.
I would have to say, though, it's easily one of the worst movies of 2008. Like, just the writing-wise, the script. The script just did not sit well with me. And the whole opera thing, the hotel thing, and just the set pieces were ridiculous.
Right.
Moving on, Kung Fu Panda Secrets of the Furious 5. I guess this is some video that on NBC recently.
Right. I like Kung Fu Panda, especially for the sound effects.
Those gunshots were really good for
the sound mix is awesome.
It's always so sad whenever the panda gets shot.
Remember, there's a part a movie does with like his pinky or whatever.
Yeah,
there's like such deep bass. It's like it was awesome in the living.
Yeah, I still haven't watched that on Blu-ray, and I have it.
Dude, you got to do it just for that scene there. Like the whole house is like some kind
awesome.
Of temporal rift or something. It's awesome.
All right. A movie that I loved as a kid, Sesame Street, Follow That Bird.
Awesome.
I'll never forget being all sad when Big Bird was in the circus and he was blue and he sang a song about being blue. That's all I remember.
Oh, Gene Shalit didn't like that, though.
It was like Cannonball Run for Sesame Street.
Yeah, I think I saw that on TV.
Yeah, I watched it way too many times as a kid. In fact, I remember seeing it in a theater.
Bill, I saw the Muppet movie in the theater, I believe.
So did I.
Oh, I know I did.
That's, yeah.
That shit was tight, yo. Or Muppets Take Manhattan.
I saw Muppets Take Manhattan. I didn't see the original Muppets movie. I saw Muppets Take Manhattan.
The Muppet movie, I'm going to say mid-70s.
Yeah.
Muppet movie.
Late 70s.
You know, all those Muppet things, I always think they have great writing. They're always really clever. Yeah. And they've got great guest star spots, you know, for actual stars.
What I did along with my friends before we went to see Muppets Take Manhattan. I'll never forget, my mom loaded me, my sister Shay, and my friend Philip into the car, and we went into town to see it. But we stopped at one of those candy stores before that, and my mom got us those wax bottles that look like pop bottles.
Oh, yeah. They're not really as good as you think they're going to be. Because you eat more wax than anything else.
Yeah, I thought that was so cool that you could bite the wax off and then drink the sugar water.
Yeah, and it's almost like it just takes too much.
It's not quite got enough sugar in it.
It's like candy that's on paper candy.
It's like dietetic candy.
You know where you have to eat the candy off the paper? It's like
The buttons, the candy buttons.
Just give me some friggin' Skittles, all right? I don't want to go through this much effort.
There was a ridiculous amount of, like, way too much effort candy out there when we were kids.
You're an inhuman monster!
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think Wonka did come up with that.
You're a thief and a swindler.
Actually, I think he stole it from Slugworth.
Oh, you're right.
You're a crook.
Slugworth Sizzler.
All right, moving on. Star Wars, The Clone Wars, A Galaxy Divided. I guess this is the first four episodes of the Clone Wars series.
Awesome.
I so don't even care about this. It looks so ridiculous to me.
Star Wars. Yay. Steven?
I've seen little moments of it on Cartoon Network, and I was like, oh, that's cool. But, eh.
I've heard that it's actually gotten entertaining or something.
I give it 5 stars.
But you know what? With your 5 fingers.
I know that these are fingers.
But you know what? Seriously, every time I turn on the Cartoon Channel, the friggin' thing is stretched. It's supposed to be HD, but it's really stretched. Yeah. And I'm like, nah, I'm out. Channel.
Well, if it's made in HD, why don't they? I never understand that. It's TBS, TNT, all those channels are the same way.
I know.
They always stretch shit.
When you see something actually in HD, it's like, whoa, yeah. What?
It's just like, if we wanted it stretched, we could stretch it ourselves.
Yeah.
Don't have to stretch it for us.
Yeah, just hit the button, you know?
All right, moving on. The Venture Brothers, one of my all-time favorite television shows ever.
You know, I don't watch this enough.
DVD and Blu-ray.
Every time I watch it, I'm entertained by it, but I don't watch it.
I like. You know what's so incredibly awesome about this set in particular? The Blu-ray and the Blu-ray and the DVD look like those classic Atari.
Oh yeah, yeah, I've seen those. That's cool. Like cartridges.
And like the DVD's orange with the Venture Brothers, and the Blu-ray is blue, of course. But I am so obsessed with this cover and the way it looks. I just think it's genius. It's absolute genius. There's something about those classic Atari cases,
yeah,
and the art in them that
and
just evokes so much emotion in me.
It's basically like inspired by like Johnny Quest, right?
Yeah, it is. But it's got so much incredible pop culture to it. It's one of the funniest shows ever.
I love Johnny Quest and his little buddy, Haji.
Yeah, it's written by Doc
Hamm. That almost
sounds
derogatory now after watching the HBO series and where they were in the Gulf. Shit, Jason. I don't have Total Recall at all tonight. You know, they call all the guys Hajis over there in Iraq.
Yeah, what was that called?
But yeah, that's what the guy's name is in Johnny Quest. That's where they got it from. But now,
yeah,
it sounds,
Haji.
Now it sounds derogatory when you say that. But I don't.
Yeah, well, people are too sensitive. And moving on. Last but certainly not least, Watchmen, Tales of the Black Freighter, and Under the Hood on DVD and Blu-ray.
Awesome! This is what I've been waiting for.
Yep, I watched both of them. Tales of the Black Freighter, we won't get into. I mean, it works, but it works better in the context of Watchmen.
Now, you're saying that it will be released eventually mixed in with the movie?
Yes, in the Ultimate Cut, Zack Snyder has said that he's shot those scenes with Bernie the Newsstand guy and kid.
That is so cool.
And it will have the scenes that lead into the comic book and out of the comic book.
When it comes down to it, how many copies of Watchmen are we going to own of different cuts? Is it going to be like Terminator 2?
I think there's going to be three distinct cuts. The theatrical, the director's, and then the ultimate, which has everything back in it.
Oh, man. So basically I'm going to have to Netflix each one as they come out until the ultimate cut, and then buy that one.
Yeah.
Malarkey.
Yeah, and Under the Hood I also watched, and it's just awesome. The level of detail, it's like one of those classic 60 Minutes kind of pieces with the guy interviewing Hollis Mason and then going around and interviewing Sally Jupiter.
I heard that there's even a few surprises in there.
There's they interview Bernie the Newsstand guy, and there's a couple really, really cool moments in it, and it's just terrific. It's so surreal to watch because it's so well done, and it just feels like the real thing.
So it's almost – say you have Watchmen on Blu-ray, and then you have that, and you could pop that in right afterwards. And you're getting like a really cool experience, right? That's what I kind
of – it's amazing. It really is.
That's what I kind of – what I was talking about like last week. When we talked a long time about Watchmen, how I basically said that, what the hell's this? I'm getting a phone call.
Uh-oh.
Basically, I said in this day and age, how we could have the movie, and then we know we're going to get an extended cut, and we also have that disc with a cartoon on it and a documentary and all that. It's so cool that we live in that time.
What does Andy want?
Hello, you're on the air. Is this Andy?
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Andy.
Hello,
no, no Battlestar Galactica spoilers, please. I've not watched it.
I will not spoil anything, but
Andy hasn't even watched it yet. He normally downloads it.
Ah, but see, I ever so sneakily added channels to my satellite tonight, much to my wife's wrath. So that I can yeah, she'll pummel me later when she finds out, but I couldn't wait. So
you added sci-fi to your package just to see Battlestar Galactica tonight because you couldn't wait.
Yeah, it probably end up costing me about, you know, $30 just to watch it right now. So
no, yeah, that's what's so bad about Dish Network is the price jump in packages just to add, like, the cable channels is insane.
I got a nice deal because I just signed up.
Yeah, so. But yeah, but, you know, TV, had though. To do it, couldn't wait. Yeah, so, I mean, if it would have been a $20, if it would have been a $20 ticket in a movie theater, I would have paid. It wouldn't have mattered. You know what I mean? It's like, it just would have been whatever the price, I would have watched it, so.
What can we do you for, Andy?
I'm just poking my nose in to say I saw it and to...
Rubbing our noses in the fact that we're doing this live and can't watch it.
Well, Andy, we got a little surprise for you, and it's this. Oh, and there's body falls Andy. Limp on the floor.
All right, and that's DVDs for this week, by the way.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs. Now, Andy, you want us to have you back next week and talk about the BSG finale?
I just don't want Bill to watch it, that's all. Just let's just all vote together for Bill not to watch it and to not offer his opinion.
Oh, my God.
Now, Andy, in all seriousness...
Andy just doesn't like whenever I give him a hard time about it because he's a BSG apologist. Even when it's bad, he'll say it's good.
Yeah. Like,
I'm sure it's going to be fine this week.
But I'm a Whedon apologist.
You're going to tear it a new asshole. I know you are. I can smell it.
Yeah, but I only do that to annoy you. Because you're so fun whenever you react so angrily. You're like, no! It's awesome! Stop it!
Well, Andy, can I ask you a question real quick about Apocalypse Hollywood?
Yes.
How's that going?
It's coming along slowly. My life lately has been... keeping it from me giving it the full attention, but I'm going to try to jump back on it. Actually, I think I've made plans with you guys for about 5 shows combined. It's ridiculous. You know, it's like Bill here and Jason on this show, and then maybe all 3 of you on another thing. And
Jason's dad? We need more Jason's dad.
Yeah, Jason's dad. I mean, it's just like, it's absolutely in the cards in the future that it be melded together like Cylons and humans, okay? We will all come together in one podcast unity.
I think we're going to become a broadcasting network.
Yes.
I can smell that in our future, absolutely.
And it smells
this
like
is going
methane.
To be the biggest disaster.
Like Cylon.
All right, Andy, thanks for calling in. We got to end the show, buddy.
End it. I'll sit here and sing along.
All right. Bill, thank you for doing the news. Andy, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Hey, mother... get the...
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And...
I love that tribal drum music. Oh!
Bear.
No, that's the great composer of all the 24s, Sean...
Gallery.
Yeah, that's him. He's great.
Gallery. I don't know.
But anyway, he does awesome 24 music, does he not?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's not bad, actually.
It's no Bear McCreary, but it's all right.
I knew that was coming. I love it.
I do love his music, but I also... Hey, can I like somebody equally, though, Andy?
Of course.
You got me listening to that David Axelrod, and I'd love to hear him score some stuff.
Oh, I love that. I love that guy.
I can't find his newest album, but I found his one of his first ones.
And
I can't stop listening to it.
Yeah, I basically, while playing Grand Theft Auto, there's a piece of music that I put in the intro that I loved. You know, every time you get in a car, there's a different station or whatever. And I kept hearing this. I was like, I liked this. I'm going to look it up online. And I love the guy's music. And I'd never heard of him before. David Axelrod. Okay.
He's no Hans Zimmer.
Yeah. No, he's no Philip Glass, is what it is.
He's no Brian Tyler Bates.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to episode 158 of Nowhere Mulberry. Again, I want to apologize. Apparently, we lost the feed for a bit. It's all Now Live's fault. Right to them. None of my fault. In fact, I think it's Utah Morning News' fault.
Yeah, they pull all of our bandwidth.
They suck the bandwidth into Utah and some kind of Mormon tabernacle time-space continuum.
Magic underwear wearing weirdness.
Seeing stone vortex of... caffeine-free something.
there's some Mormon trail in Omaha.
Mormon
I hear
trail?
They sell Pepsi-free. That's the biggest seller in Utah.
Nice! But if you'd like to send us an email, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com. Also leave us a voicemail at 1206-202-3491. And Andy, Apocalypse Hollywood, the one thing you need to change that you never had with the saloon is a voicemail.
You're completely right. I will look into that, definitely.
You do.
And check out, is it just apocalypsehollywood.com, the blog that you update?
That's correct.
Yeah, one of the many blogs I read that all say the same thing. No, I'm just kidding, Andy.
I just steal things from other places that make our interest to me. It's
like
really
if I want to see Tim Burton's latest set photos to the new Alice in Wonderland, can I get that at Apocalypse Hollywood?
If I decide to put it there. Really cool.
Look at this blurry photograph. This must be from the set of Alice in Wonderland.
Amazing.
Yeah, the new thing now is the Avatar stuff because there's a Time Magazine article coming up.
James Cameron's leaning on some kind of console that may be on the set of Avatar.
Yeah, and it's so funny that at first they said the movie's going to cost in excess of $300 million, and now they've updated it and said, no, that was a typo. It's $200 million.
Yeah.
But the most interesting thing about the article is I forget the name, but there's this term for CGI that when it becomes real enough that the eye can't distinguish between CGI and real, well, I guess he's finally surpassed that.
Oh,
the
don't
guy
need to...
writing for Time says that he couldn't figure out what was real and what was fake or what was CGI.
When you start saying shit like that, you're painting yourself into a corner because people are like, I can tell. I can tell it's CGI.
Yeah. This I can see the first day after Avatar comes out. That sucked. I can tell it was CGI.
I think Eugene will probably call and complain about
that.
Yeah,
that kind of sounds like Eugene there. That's kind of weird.
I wonder
if you could probably do a decent Eugene if you try it.
What are you insinuating?
I don't know. We're crazy.
What?
Yeah. So anyway, also go to nowheremulberry.com and you'll find Mulberry Old School. You can listen to all of our old episodes, which I know Andy does all the time because he's a huge, huge listener of our show. He loves the show. Right, Andy?
I have a Nowhere Mulberry refrigerator magnet, and I bet I'm the only one on planet Earth that has that.
You are, since we didn't put any out.
So there you go. I created it, and then I bought it, and then I erased it from my page, so I am the keeper of the NIM merchandise.
That's kind of weird.
Yes.
He's going to get the NIM ball cap next.
Hey, Andy.
Yeah.
Jack!
Save my daughter!
Jack, I believe you. I'm going to do everything I can in my power to help you. You will now have free reign. You will have a license to kill for the government. You'll get all these bad guys. Just let me answer the door.
No!
Oh,
where'd you get the gun?
Hey, at least now they can take his dead body and turn him into robo-senator.
Robobotiker. Awesome.
Exactly.
All right, well, let's go ahead and end the show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Andy, thank you for calling in. Steven, thank you for being here once again. Thank you for gracing us with your presence and talking about urinating with an erection.
I...
pee boner. Oh,
pee boner.
About to use a Jedi mind trick and just
I'm
choke
telling you, it's whenever the bladder is so full, it pushes on the prostate and it gives you a boner while you pee.
No, I know that. I'm talking about being in the shower and doing it.
I do that all the time.
Oh,
just getting up. Good Lord, man. You know, you're gonna take a shower anyways, and you just gotta pee. Just get in, turn the water on, and just let the water loose.
That's not sanitary.
You guys have run out of things to talk about.
Of course, it's sanitary.
Oh.
In fact, doctors will tell you if you've got actually your morning pee, you should pee on them.
Yeah, there's enzymes in it that.
Yeah, that's great, guys. Also, if a jellyfish stings you on the foot,
it's sterile. It doesn't have any sort of like nasty shit in it. Just
because that's what the toilet's for. That's why it's right next to the shower.
I don't think I shit in the shower.
Andy, I'm glad you could be here for this conversation.
I was telling you guys have picked such good topics.
Awesome. No, we should talk about shit and stuff when we're on TRX. Oh, I shouldn't have gone there.
Oh.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Bye. See you next week.
Jive-ass dude don't got no brains in it.
Very controversial ending. What the hell's going on with the audio? Foggy, there's something wrong with the audio. Can we fix that? Nah, we're going off the air anyway. Who cares?
This was composed by Bear Curry, right?
Composed by John Barry.
Fart. Boom. That's a fart.
Oh my god.
This is podcasting.
This is going to be the biggest disaster ever.